The Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Tao.
Turn it on. See if it works.
Newsflash.
We interrupt this program.
Good morning.
It is true. What many of you have heard.
Today is
Friday. It's the weekend.
With profound sadness that I am confirming that the legendary, iconic performer Prince Rogers Nelson has died at his Paisley Park residence at the age of 57.
This is what it sounds like when doves cry.
Fans around the world have been mourning the sudden loss of a musical icon.
Massive loss in the world of music, pop culture, art. Prince has died.
7 Grammys, 30 Grammy nominations, 5 of his songs hit number 1, 14 top 10 hits.
Such an iconic performer.
I'm just in shock. I'm just in shock.
He was an extraordinary talent. He appreciated life.
I just couldn't believe it. I didn't believe it. He was just here Saturday. He was just here Saturday.
Only want to see you bathing in the purple rain.
He crossed every boundary, every genre. He broke through barriers all over the place.
He cared so much just about ordinary people.
This is a man that pulled people together and is even continuing to do so.
When you think about how great he was as a musician, just please understand that's a part of the greatness. The music was a part of it, but there were so many other ways that it expressed itself.
He was just always interested in lifting people higher.
He kept living, and he kept creating, and he kept giving.
You know, he just brought us so much, much joy.
How would you describe your music?
The only thing I could think of is inspirational, and I think music that is from the heart falls right into that category. People who really feel what it is that they're doing. Ultimately, all music is or can be inspirational, and that's why it's so important to let your gift be guided by something more clear. As I go through this journey, I don't look back much at all. I try to stay in the now and live in the now. No, I think it keeps you young.
It's a sad day today. How you guys doing?
Sucks, man.
Yeah.
Steve-O, you can let go of me now. It's okay.
Whoa.
It's all right. You can stop holding me.
Let go.
It's all right. I got you, buddy. Ah! Oh!
You got him.
Can I just say off the bat to the people that used to be friends on Facebook who are openly mocking / joking about it?
I didn't see any of that yesterday.
I will find you.
I saw a couple of things.
I saw a couple and it was like, dude, you know, some of the, like, too soon jokes, and it was like, yeah, it will forever be too soon. It's never cool to mock the passing of a human being.
Mm.
But.
Yeah, big news. If you're not a Prince fan, this is probably not the morning show for you today. I'm just going to let you guys know right now. Because we're gonna pay tribute all morning long.
And dude!
We're going to talk about details, about his death. There's a few things that came out. They're still speculating, though.
I was going to say.
Until the autopsy.
Yeah.
But TMZ came out with some.
Yeah, but do you.
Kind of
does
crazy.
Anyone trust TMZ?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know if you can. They were the first to report it.
Yeah. They're but, somewhat. I wouldn't say legit. But they're
totally a celebrity gossip thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, we'll talk about the details.
All right.
I haven't heard any of that.
Plus, a lot of celebrities paid tribute and tweeted their thoughts and prayers going out to Prince. Are his parents alive? Does he have any family?
I don't know.
He's so mysterious.
No, he was married back in 1996. In fact, she was a dancer in a music video in 1990. And it was like, that was the relationship. They got married in 1996. They had a child. He died when he was a week old.
Aww.
And he never
Fell in love again?
No, they got divorced in 2000. That ultimately just But she still, you know, that was her love. I was reading, you know, stories. You read stuff. And so it could be embellished for whatever. But, no, yeah, that was it. He had one son who passed away when he was a week old from a rare disease. I mean, that was it. That was, but, you know, he was a longtime Jehovah's Witness. I know we have a cover that he did that we'll play throughout, you know, in the morning, but... Last year he did he came out with a cover of a Christian song from Nicole Nordeman. He's got a classic song called "The Cross." He was always very interested in the person of Jesus Christ, and so
yeah, that's some people.
Say, today really sucks. Today it was like when I found out, I was like, no way.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, some people are speculating because he was a Jehovah's Witness that. He stopped taking medications to leave it up to God in prayer.
Right.
A lot of people are saying, I don't know.
Because I don't think he wasn't hardcore Jehovah Witness.
I don't know, man. Because
towards the end, though?
At the Super Bowl, they were requesting certain songs, and he wouldn't play some of his classic songs, especially if it had to do with sexuality and stuff like that. Because, so I don't know. But I mean, of course, it's all just stories, you know? So I don't want to say yay or nay, but I do know that like he played a lot of his newer cuts when it came to especially arena tours and stuff.
Yeah.
That he stopped playing older sensual type songs because he didn't want that to be, you know, he didn't want to indulge in that or glorify that lifestyle.
He's been a part of the church for 20 years.
Wow.
So that was my first thought yesterday.
There's an interview there from 2012. The Super Bowl show was what, 2007?
Yeah, and that was 2007.
But there's an interview here where he's talking about his Jehovah Witness faith.
Oh, cool.
Let's see.
We'll, by cool, I just mean like, all right.
I can't believe you just condoned
Jehovah
Witnesses.
I know, right? I know, exactly. Studio, sorry, I say some stupid things, and yet that's the one that somebody's going to go,
oh my God,
I can't believe it.
It's not even what he meant.
Sorry, not at all. Not at all what I meant.
Aretha Franklin, did you hear what she said?
Uh-uh.
Here, this is what she said.
It's such a blow. It's really surreal. It's just kind of unbelievable. I was coming out of my hotel, and the doorman stopped me and asked me, had I heard about Prince? And it just blew me away. Unbelievable. But he was such an original. He was definitely an original and a one of a kind. There truly was only one Prince. But, you know, they're saying flu-like symptoms. I'm wondering if it had anything to do with this Zika virus.
I don't know. Maybe.
With
the baby? Aretha. The Zika virus?
Come on, girl. Don't put that out there.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, she might have got the Zika. Yeah.
Is Prince patient zero for the new zombie apocalypse? Is he patient zero?
Well, I mean, if he is, I guess it'll sound better than we all expected.
Yes.
Yeah, they found him unresponsive in an elevator. Paramedics were unable to revive him. He was pronounced dead less than 25 minutes later. An autopsy will be done sometime today. TMZ has a photo of him leaving a pharmacy on Wednesday night. Supposedly, it was the fourth time he'd been there that week. His people say he'd been suffering from flu-like symptoms for the past few weeks. Last Thursday, he performed a show in Atlanta, but got sick on the flight home that his private plane had to make an emergency landing. Then he went to the hospital, was hospitalized, and released. On Saturday, he showed up at a dance party, told the crowd that he'd be fine. He said, quote, wait a few days before you waste any prayers. But TMZ says the plane made an emergency landing because he suffered an overdose. Sources say he was rushed to the hospital so doctors could give him a so-called safe shot to counteract the effects of an opiate. According to TMZ, the doctors told him to stay in the hospital for 24 hours, but Prince and his entourage left after just 3 hours because he couldn't get a private room. And when he left, they said he was not doing well. So that's kind of the I guess, according to TMZ, that's the timeline of things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then now everybody's speculating. You know, some people are saying he died of AIDS.
No.
And he just didn't he wasn't up on his meds. That's let's just cross that one out. There you go. So we'll pay tribute to Prince. He was an amazing musician.
Dang, dude. I'm reading more about, so he was totally devout by the end of his life.
Yeah.
This guy, engineer and producer Joshua Welton, told Entertainment Weekly in 2015, last year, that Prince was living a, quote, God-focused life, recounting how the first time the two met, we just stood in the kitchen and talked about scripture for 2 hours. This other person says they got a knock on their door one night, opened it, and there was Prince. This is a couple in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. This is in 2003. They opened their door at 2 p.m. to find Prince standing on their doorstep, Bible in hand. Needless to say, they were shocked. Compounding their surprise, they were Jewish. It was Yom Kippur, and the Vikings were playing. So it was kind of like, they said, my first thought was, cool, cool, cool. He wants to use the house for a set. But then he started in on the Jehovah's Witness stuff and stayed for about 30 minutes and left a pamphlet.
Wow.
There's an interview here. Yeah. He was raised Seventh-day Adventist, but converted after another, like, artist person, kind of Larry Graham from Graham Central Station. And, yeah, he was the bass player in Sly and the Family Stone.
Huh. Father's Song. Purple Rain soundtrack.
I don't know if Joey Belleville is going to be able to get out of bed today.
Yeah.
Our dear friend Joey. He hit me up. Like, I was reading, you know, before it was announced it was Prince, because at first it was just they found a body. They were investigating death on his estate. We didn't know who it was.
Yeah, we saw it. Dex and I were here when that was going on.
Oh,
we were like, dang, what happened?
Yeah. I was like reading it, and then he's hitting me up, and that dude, I don't know if he's going to make it today. He's,
the publicist confirmed it.
Yeah.
And that was the thing, too, because TMZ posted it first, and so everybody was kind of like, I don't know. But then Prince's publicist issued an official statement, and it was like,
usually TMZ, if TMZ posts it, you can almost guarantee that it's legit. Almost. But they're the top of the celebrity.
It's because they've bugged all our homes, guys.
It's true.
They do follow people.
That
Harry
guy. Is his name Harry, the main guy or something?
I've never watched that show. It's trash, dude.
I don't watch it either. I mean, I don't watch it. Here's Prince performing Purple Rain at his final show in Atlanta. A lot of artists that were playing yesterday paid tribute. Corey Taylor.
Wait, from Slipknot?
I don't say that on the radio.
Is that really? This is Corey Taylor?
Yeah, that sounds great, huh?
Dude, that sounds fantastic.
Wow.
What do you mean, don't say that on the radio?
You guys in trouble.
Yeah, that's fine.
Some friends of mine went to see Alabama Shakes in Nashville last night, and they played. I don't know if they played anything, but before the show, they were just playing Prince music.
Man,
coming up, I want to share Justin Timberlake's message because you know everybody had something to say about it. But of everything I read, I thought Justin Timberlake's was the most profound. Yes, I just said that, JT.
We got a big show. Yes, we got other things. Other than Prince. Ken Hendricks from Time for Change will be joining us on the show. He'll be in studio this morning.
That's right.
Around 7:30-ish, 8 o'clock.
That's when our girl Josette's coming. 8 o'clock hour. She's bringing a couple of pups. Two.
Is she bringing the dog that's on the wheelchair?
No, Ellie. Ellie's sick.
Oh.
So she's bringing back the brothers. There's a couple brothers. Listen, people, we need help getting these dogs adopted. Our good friend just said.
Nobody wants the dogs.
The Southwest Animal Rescue Fund.
None of you in the Star Army want these dogs. We haven't adopted one dog yet.
Well,
I mean, we've got one adopted. I adopted.
It was you. It was you. Dale, you might have to adopt a dog.
No, I'm not doing
Beans
that.
And Panda need a friend.
Yeah, it's called Johnny.
Yeah.
And they're already terrified of it.
Yeah, and you're in a situation,
too. Why don't
you
just adopt another dog? You got three kids that can take care of the dog. Why don't you do it?
One's enough. I know.
You're trying to pawn off my dogs limitations. On everybody else. You won't even do it yourself.
I know my limitations.
I know your limitations as well.
Got a great story coming up. This actually happened to me. A high school basketball star turned out to be a 30-year-old man.
What?
This happened to me when I was growing
what?
Up.
Stop it.
No.
I got the pictures, and not the guy that I played against, but...
This is an 80s movie. Yes. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I know what I can do. I'll go back to high school. And then it's like, bam, 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 yep. Bam. Back to school, the movie. In a time before lawyers were actually used all the time, there was Back to School, the movie.
It's insane.
Is weird.
I can't wait for you guys
is
to see.
Is it like 21 Jump Street status? Like,
Billy
was
Madison?
An undercover cop?
Like Billy Madison on steroids. You guys realize that Joker went back to elementary school, right? That's weird.
That is weird. One of the greatest movies of our time.
Back to school. Back to school.
We got some whiskey tangos for you this morning. Steve will throw down. Let's see. Oh, you can text the show if you'd like. 505-585-LIVE. 585-5483. Got a few people texting in this morning. If you guys want to talk about Prince, you guys want to contribute to whatever we're talking about, hit us up on that live line. Or call us up, 338-3700. 338-3700.
And if you're wondering why we're doing this, coming up, I want to share a piece from Nicole Nordeman. She is the Christian artist whose song, What If, was covered by Prince. And she had some pretty great words to say about what Prince meant to her. And she wrote a letter to her friends in Christian radio.
Mm-hmm.
And
good.
Thought we'd share that coming up.
There's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day or night.
Good morning, Starmie. It's April 22nd. 6:24.
Hi to Dave. Who cares? Prince is gone.
We're going to have a really fun show today.
Right.
It's going to be neat.
High today of 74.
All right, we'll check the roads when we come back. Tao's got your headlines.
Right.
Good morning.
Keep busting.
We got to take a break, but fear not. Morning of today.
Prince has died. Just want your extra time and your He was 57 and had suffered flu-like symptoms for several weeks, found unresponsive in an elevator at his Paisley Park recording studio and home in Minneapolis.
Donald Trump may be grounded. The FAA says the registration expired.
The aircraft has been flying without the appropriate authority from the FAA for a number of months.
Pennsylvania regulators have fined Uber nearly $11.4 million for operating in the state without permission.
The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits fell to the lowest level in more than four decades.
Part of an elevated bike lane that was built in Rio ahead of this summer's Olympic Games has collapsed.
A line of thunderstorms through the Houston area has aggravated the flooding there. Some of the creeks rose.
This will be the day. This is my jam right here. Good morning, Starmie, 6:32.
Hi, today of...
You gotta know the high.
It's so cold in my heart that I don't even care.
No traffic, anything to report right now, but you guys watch out for the road construction. Enjoy your morning commute. That's your look at traffic.
AccuWeather says 77.
Nice. If I could, I would give you the
word.
wonder what Ron Keddie's saying this morning.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people wonder.
Why are you playing him over Prince? What's wrong with you?
My bad, guys.
You should forget I can't play that
at the same time. Never mind. 585-5483. You can text the show. Love hearing from you guys.
Yeah.
A couple of you have already chimed in and said, Prince, I'm out. Whatever.
What?
That's what they're saying.
No one said that.
Look it up.
Oh. What?
It's on the text line.
What'd they say?
They said, Prince, not a fan.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, brother, don't care about Prince. Turn off Radio Day. Wow.
It's going to happen.
You said a couple of you. Literally one heartless person from Santa Fe.
They're flooding in right now. Their texts are pouring
one
in like
person.
Crazy.
One person said that.
Ken Hendricks will be joining us.
I'm excited about that.
Me too.
Because Ken's had a lot of changes in his life, right? From what you've told me.
Yeah.
He's like the band used to be going through.
Oh, I thought you were talking. Yeah. Because the band's called Time for Change.
Oh, that's a funny joke. But the band used to go, I just want to hear another, like, you know, what he did after the band broke up story.
Yeah.
It's always interesting to hear what happens then.
Time for Change. This band, they were a big deal back when I first got into radio.
Yeah.
Early 2000s. And then, like most bands, they had families. The late singer, Ken, will be joining us.
The late singer?
I said lead singer.
Oh.
Prince is
making fun of my Montana accent.
Like, gone through a lot of changes. They were really big in the 2000s.
I wish I'd have known.
And then we lost Ken. He'll be joining us today.
He's back.
The late Ken.
Late singer Ken. Shout out to the Lopez family in Las Cruces.
What's up?
Another great artist gone too soon. We saw Prince in concert way back.
Wow.
Purple Rain concert.
Whoa. So like 84, 83, gosh. 84, when I was born.
Ready?
Purple Rain.
Okay, no.
Purple Rain.
No. No.
What's up, Las Cruces? How you doing?
How you doing, man?
Today is April 22nd. 14 days until Captain America.
Who's that?
Is that you singing?
Mm-mm.
On your phone?
That's Coon singing.
That's Coon.
Oh.
Purple
I gotta tell you guys a story. There's an entire story behind that.
That's so awesome.
Maybe we can call Coon today and he can tell the story.
Shout out to Arlington, Texas. They said their favorite song from Prince was Kiss.
Hmm.
Oh, interesting fact about that. Did you know that he originally wrote that song for a different band?
Really?
Yeah, I found this giant list on NME.com.
Yeah.
NME.com. Yeah, check it out. Prince originally wrote Kiss for a band called Maserati, Revolution members Mark Brown and Bobby Rivkin. It was their band. He later backtracked, telling the two guys, it's too good for you guys. Sorry. That's something he recorded.
Wow.
Sorry, guys. Just way too good for you.
Joey does that every year at his karaoke party.
Yeah.
Kiss?
Yeah.
Mm. Song will forever remind me of the one, the only Joey Belleville. He was the late singer of the Echoing Green. Gone too soon.
News.
Yeah.
Prince died yesterday.
Prince, there it is. That's literally like my first three paragraphs.
Here's a tribute. We'll be back. Just kidding.
It's true. I went to my news section and I was like, yeah. Okay, so Dex has Prince covering everything.
That's all that was in the news. I'm serious. That and that great story about the 30-year-old that was playing high school basketball. That's it.
Yeah, so in case you live under a rock, some of you in Santa Fe kind of do. Prince passed away yesterday at his Paisley Park compound just outside of Minneapolis. He was 57. Found him in an elevator. He wasn't able to be revived. No word on cause of death. His people say he'd been suffering from flu-like symptoms, but TMZ says that he's recently overdosed. What is that?
It's a possibility. So many people, though, have been saying no way Prince was on drugs. There's no way.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't follow the link that you posted because you have to have a login thing.
Yeah, don't worry
so
about that.
I don't know about that. So we're going to be talking a lot about Prince today. And I really am excited about talking about it because a lot of people are going to be kind of put off by the fact that we're talking about Prince on a Christian station. But there's a difference between, you know, we hear about artists passing away all the time. But earlier this year, David Bowie passed away, and now Prince has passed away. And there's a difference when you have, like, you know, a legend of music that's influenced so many different people, so many different artists. And there are probably songs that you sing in your head every day that you have no idea that he wrote. We've got a list of songs that Prince actually wrote that were huge hits for other people.
Yeah.
And so I kind of want to talk about how we approach it when people pass away that we've, like, looked up to or that were heavily influential. Like, we're going to talk a little bit about that today.
In my world, this is Michael Jackson caliber. Prince is Michael Jackson caliber in my world. This was like losing Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
So sad.
Dude, Justin Timberlake posted on his Instagram yesterday. Yes, I follow JT on Instagram.
Yeah, he does.
Why are you ashamed of that? That is awesome.
Oh, not even a little bit. I love Justin Timberlake.
I love him too.
I don't even, there's no shame in that. It's like, dude, loves me some JT.
Mm-hmm.
He posted a silhouetted photo of Prince yesterday and said, "It was Raspberry Beret. I was 4 years old." Yes, four. "I remember that I instantly loved it. Mommy, who's that singing? Seems weird, but it's true. More than a once-in-a-lifetime artist, just a once-in-forever artist. I'm still in shock as I write this. And I feel this overwhelming grief. But we should all turn away from that and honor the musician that changed all of our lives, our perspectives, our feelings, the whole being. From another planet, probably. Royalty for sure. Us worthy? Laughable. They say you don't meet your idols. They say that they let you down. But some of my greatest, funniest, yes, he was hilarious, and most prolific encounters and conversations about music came from the moments that I spent with Prince. It would be silly to say that he has inspired our music because it's beyond that. He's somewhere within every song I've ever written. I'm sad, but I will smile when I think of every second that I had the fortune of being in his company. We have lost our greatest living musician, but his music will never die. Prince, nothing compares." And then hashtag RIP Prince. Here's the thing. People are like, why are you guys talking about Prince? Who cares about Prince? Prince not only was iconic as a musician, but I scoured the internet yesterday, of course, because I knew we were going to be talking about this. And 99.999% of everything I read about that guy was how kind he was about how giving he was about how serious he took his faith, especially in recent years, because people are like, oh, well, he grew up Seventh-day Adventist and then he Jehovah's Witness. But everything I've read in the last few years, including the fact that he released this Nicole Nordeman song as his first single last year, point to the fact that he was enamored and in love with the man and the God, Jesus Christ. And it was that that took him on this whole life journey, if you will. And so, I don't know. I would not be the one to judge and say, well, I mean, obviously. We, as Christians, believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. But we don't know his personal relationship with Jesus, you know? And so, yeah, I say, yeah, of course we're talking about this human being. So music aside, he was a pretty profound human as well.
Made a huge, huge impact on this world.
Yeah. Yeah. And on the community around him, which isn't something that we can say about every artist, you know? So
Joshua on the live line said, "Don't mind all the Prince talk. I never listened to him or was much of a fan, but it's cool learning some stuff about the guy. Keep on keeping on."
Somebody else chimed in from Las Cruces, said, "R.I.P. Prince. I remember seeing him in concert in Cruces back in the 80s. Big fan of Prince. Grew up listening to his music. He will be missed. Now he is the artist formerly known as Prince."
I saw some of that stuff, too. Formerly known as Alive is what somebody
apparently Aretha Franklin texted in and said, "Flu-like symptoms? Probably Ebola." Thanks, Liveline.
No, it wasn't Ebola.
You guys.
It was the Zika.
That's what Aretha Franklin thinks.
Did you use the Google to find that out?
It was the Z-Con that found that on
you
the Google.
You need to post a status on the Facebook.
What else you got, Tao?
Well, scrolling down past all of the print stuff, so yeah. I'm like three pages down, thanks, Dad. A new survey found parents and children spend an average of an hour or less face-to-face every day, but they exchange 5,800 texts a year.
Wow.
Whoa.
Send 260 emails and make 37 hours worth of calls.
Ugh.
No word on, like, FaceTime.
Dude, Jack hit me up yesterday.
On FaceTime?
Yeah. He emailed me a few times yesterday. Like, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, I was like, hey, Daddy. And I'm like, hey, aren't you supposed to be in school?
Here's another interesting statistic. 60% of parents also admitted that sometimes they call or text one of their family members when they're both home.
Yeah.
They could just yell at him, but
that happens in my house.
Chrissy did that to me yesterday.
My wife does it to me every night. She'll be sitting on the other end of the couch because we kind of sit on opposite ends of the couch.
Wow.
And she texts me while I'm right there on the couch, and I look over at her and I'm right here, and she won't talk to me. And then she'll text me again and be like, "So, what are your plans for tomorrow?" Wait, what do you mean? I'm right here. Wow. I'm working. I'll be home around 10.
Are you guys watching a TV show? Maybe she didn't want to interrupt the dialogue on the television.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not it.
She just doesn't like you.
She hates me.
Stop it.
She does. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Cool boy. Are you feeling all right
Prince,
today?
Man. That's Key Rock, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest guitar players of all time.
Yeah, you know that, I'm pretty sure this is fact, that you couldn't look up none of his music on YouTube.
No.
Oh, yeah.
It was really hard finding some of the stuff that I found this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it was like, well, now that he's dead, I think you can find it, but, I you know, and then he's going to have all these tracks released and all this, you know, he was a pretty smart, intelligent dude, and if he did overdose, well, you know, that's sad, and if he, you know, but no matter what, his music spoke, you know what I mean? It just spoke to the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so if you weren't inspired or like that one song they were playing yesterday, I was listening to the radio and they played. Remember that one Raspberry Beret? Raspberry Beret. That was a good one.
Yeah,
that was a great one.
Raspberry Beret. I mean, he had some jams. Like Raspberry Beret or some not Beret or Beret.
No,
or
it's Beret. It's a Raspberry Beret.
Yeah, it was that too. But he rocks, man, and when you listen to his music, it takes you somewhere, and you know, hopefully not nor crazy, but
I hear you, buddy.
Good artist, man, and he was good, very very sweet talker too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, man, that's sad, man. But we're all gonna die sometime, right?
Exactly. Yep. And that's
all right. I love you guys.
Love you too.
Yeah. Later, man.
Yeah. Prince said he was once so poor that he would smell food instead of eating it.
What?
He'd go around and the one time he said he would stand outside McDonald's and just smell stuff.
Wow.
He was worth $300 million when he died.
Man.
It's crazy. I was telling, the funny thing is, two nights ago when we were helping out with worship here at Calvary, we were in the green room, and I was talking about something that used to happen to me on the House of Heroes when we were on tour. They told me a story about how Prince, if you were in his band, he had such a high caliber of, like, or a high standard of quality, and he demanded that his musicians be impeccable. Basically, Prince could play like 20 something instruments by the time he was 12. He wrote his first song when he was 14. Mm. So this is who we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who understood and spoke in music. That was his language.
Yeah.
And so Prince, when he would have people on tour with him, they would get like three chances to mess up, and they would be playing. And this is all being told to me as I'm joining House of Heroes, so I'm like devastatingly intimidated by these guys anyway. So they would be playing, and if you messed up, Prince would look over at you during the set, and he would just hold a one up.
No way!
And then if you messed up again, he would hold a two up. And if you messed up a third time, you were fired at the end of the night.
Wow!
And that was it.
Pack your bags,
you're done. He can find somebody better than you. That's just what, that's how he was. I found another story where he needed to practice and he had to get a baby grand piano into this certain venue in over in London, but there were no stairs. So Prince, he rented a crane and they lifted the baby piano into the venue.
Wow.
This is who we're talking about. So anyway, I joined House of Heroes, and if I would mess up, I would look at Colin and he would pull up. Yeah. It was funny.
Dude, 585 live, if you'd like to chime in on the live line, that's 585-5483. Text in. Somebody texted and said, don't fret when you lose a prince, for the king is still on the throne.
Boom!
We also got a hashtag that I think they're trying to make it trend. Hashtag Jesus loves purple jumpsuit wearing songwriting singing artists who made positive impacts on people around the world, too.
I feel like that hashtag is a little long.
Yeah, it might be a little long.
Maybe some consolidation.
Nah, man. Hashtag, we can shorten it. Hashtag JLPJSW.
That's too much.
Oh, God. I've lost track. Okay. Hashtag Jesus loves purple jumpsuit wearing songwriting artists who made a positive impact on people around the world, too.
All right, let's talk about some other things happening.
Okay.
What else is going on?
That's literally all I have.
Okay, coming up, I want to share something for all of you peoples that watch television on the ABCs. Castle, there's been a lot going on. We mentioned Stana Katic. She plays Kate Beckett, the co-lead of the show.
Mm-hmm.
She's not returning next season.
Oh, no!
Well, yesterday, Nathan Fillion responded, the co-star of Castle, and now he's in some serious hot water. Mm. So we got to talk about this coming up.
No, I've always wanted to watch that show. I've never seen it.
Well, I met him back in October, Chrissy and I. We went out there.
I've seen the picture.
In New York, yeah. Really nice guy. Or is he, according to the latest?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
A new survey found men are way more likely to go to a close friend when they need relationship advice. Women use their friends too, but not nearly as much. And they're more
really?
They're more likely than men to not go to anyone for advice. It seems not productive or intuitive. It just seems counter to what everybody thinks.
Well, because women, they just talk and talk and talk and
okay.
talk. And
your
talk,
woman doesn't talk to you.
Yeah,
she's
just about to say, it's no maybe wonder it's that she just texts.
Maybe it's just turned into a texting thing. Maybe everybody just texts each other for advice.
Yeah. She always blames. She always says it's my fault too because I introduced the texting back in the day when my wife and I we've gone through the ringer over the years with our marriage and. You know how it is when you can't communicate properly. Well, I thought, you know what? Since we cannot communicate like human beings should communicate without yelling, let's text each other.
That's good.
And it worked. But now, that's all she wants to do. Yep. I don't want to text happens. Anymore.
And now, in order to get a hold of her, you still have to go through the ringer, if you will.
Oh, man.
Sorry, bud.
The phone. It was the phone. Because, you know, you have to dial. Well, oh, he's holding up a one. What does that mean? Dex just held up a one.
What else you got, Dex?
Oh, he held up a one. Oh, my gosh. It really. Oh, WWE superstar Chyna was dead for a day or two before a friend found her body.
I totally forgot. That stinks. I was devastated when we heard the news about that.
Oh, yeah. Dude, speaking of people getting in hot water for their words, you know, coming up, we'll talk Nathan Fillion in the next hour. But Triple H getting destroyed today with words because he came out and talked about the fact that she left a lasting legacy, she deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame, all these things. And people are like, really? That's interesting because I swear recently you were talking about how because of everything outside of the ring with her life and she was involved in adult film and drug addiction, all these things, she was not allowed into the WWE Hall of Fame. And now all of a sudden because she passed away, it's like, oh man, she always deserved to be in there. Oh. You know, and so it's like, does it change things when someone passes away? Like, you just focus on the good and their legacy?
I think a lot of people do.
You know?
You look at the way funerals are approached. Mm-hmm. If you guys watch Daredevil on Netflix, there's a great scene, because Matt Murdock, the main character, is devout Catholic. And there's a great scene in the new season with the priest where this criminal guy gets taken out by the Punisher. And the only people at the funeral are Matt Murdock, Foggy Nelson, and Karen Page.
Oh, that's right.
His lawyer team. And so the priest gets up there, and instead of going into some, like, he was a great man with blah, 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 he just talks about how the guy would come in and pray, but he never changed. And he struggled his whole life, and he was always trying to earn a better position with God, but he just never did. Yeah. And so then when it's over, they kind of say, you know, why didn't you hit the nail on the head there? And the priest says something to the effect of, funerals aren't for the dead. They're not to honor those people. Funerals are for the living who are there. And he said, and if you try to change the truth, then, you know, you're just lying to the people right. that are, like, you can't learn anything
yeah. mm-hmm.
from a lie.
Right.
Basically, you need the truth there for those that are living to kind of be like, yeah, I guess I can make some changes. I don't want to end up, which is totally true. It's more important, you know, than to try to establish some legacy. To really just say what happened. And in China's case, and in Prince's case too, I mean, they're not perfect people by any means.
Right.
China was a talented wrestler. Prince was an incredible musician and a legend, but they still had crap in their lives. And I mean, you know, by most Christian standards, Jehovah Witnesses, that's a cult. And so we'll get a lot of feedback, I'm sure, about that. Like, nobody's here trying to say Jehovah Witness isn't a cult or whatever, but you know, and China went into the adult film industry and had a heroin addiction and mm-hmm. all kinds of, so like, by no means are we trying to put these people up on a pedestal or anything, but when a celebrity dies, it affects people. Mm-hmm. And so it's just that much more important to address it in the Christian community, because it's a reminder that life is precious and life goes at any time.
Right.
And what's really important, you know?
Yeah. Well, because these celebrities, in some way or another, they've impacted our lives.
Exactly.
I always get people saying, well, why don't you guys, you know, you're sitting here, you know, talking or posting about, you know, all these celebrities that are dying, but what about the soldiers that are dying every day? I don't see... Well, come on. That, in a way, is different. Because, of course, you know, I pray every day for the soldiers, the men and women fighting for our country. And, yes, there are people dying every single day. Except I didn't know any of them, you know? I don't know Prince, but he made an impact in my life as far as his music did, you know? And I'm getting choked up right now talking about it.
Quit getting choked up.
I'm all right. You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
It's just different.
No, it is different. And it's important. I think it's important for us to talk about it, because we can talk about impact. We can talk about how, just like Prince said, when you truly, with music, when you write from your heart, that's what impacts other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have any artist that does that consistently, even artists that aren't Christians, they write from their heart, those are the songs that mean the most to the most people.
Well, and that's what we hope we're doing here at Star 88, is being real and presenting everything from the heart. Because if there's one gripe that people have with the Christian industry, it's that it's mediocre, that it rips off everybody else, and it's disingenuine.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want good music, if you want good artistry, you have to come with something real, something new, something from your heart, something that God has imprinted upon you, not trying to be the next Switchfoot, not trying to be the next Radiohead, but being the first you, because it's real and it's genuine. And if it sucks, then maybe God gave you talents elsewhere.
Okay, we got to go to break. 585 Live, you can text the show. Coming up, our friend Ken Hendricks will be joining us in the studio.
Yeah!
Time for Change is the name of the band that he's in.
Awesome.
Good morning. Hang out with us.
How would you describe your music?
The only thing I could think of is inspirational, and I think music that is from the heart falls right into that category. People who really feel what it is that they're doing.
Stay tuned. The Morning Invasion is coming back.
In its earliest days, the major function of radio was news. News was the warp and woof of life. But with this contribution came a bonus. Entertainment.
What's the scariest experience you had as a child?
Probably the death of my father.
Okay.
This happens all the time.
I was six. Really sucked. Yeah. Next.
They tell us radio is dead, but this isn't entirely true. It is gone, all right, but it isn't dead.
And she went on to work the fields, and she did a lot of just crazy, amazing work. And that's it.
Are you reading? Are you still reading?
Just trying to.
Radio lives on in our minds and hearts because part of our national heritage was formed when radio was king. When radio was king.
Hello.
712.
High today of 77 degrees.
Check them roads out there, Tam.
No accidents to report right now. You guys be careful. There's a disabled vehicle. The shoulder's blocked. I-25 South at the Big Eye. You guys look out for that. That's your look at traffic.
We'd like to welcome Ken Hendricks to the show.
Yes.
Back from the dead.
Yeah. Back from the dead, Ken Hendricks.
The late singer of Time for Change.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm so excited to be here. You guys got me feeling really special having me in here.
Nice. How does it feel that you get to talk to my back the entire morning?
I know, I'm going to flip around.
It's pretty decent.
Well,
back.
It feels a little bit like...
It's weird, right?
It's kind of strange because I haven't seen you in a while, and you invite me to come and hang out, and you just don't even look at me.
Well, yeah, here's the cool thing.
I just can't.
He didn't
You can say anything bad you want to because it's behind his back.
But it's also in his ears.
You know.
So. You were texting him, and he goes... Can somebody just go get him? He's at the front door.
Hey, you know what? Watch it.
That didn't happen.
You already have one strike.
Oh, that's right. I have one strike already. I better be careful.
Oh, no. You got to hold up the two now.
Three strikes and I'm done.
Might happen again.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Okay. All right.
Not going to happen, man.
So, Ken, tell everybody a little bit about who you are for the Starmie.
Mm. Starmie.
Oh, man.
Who am I? No, no, let's start with Time for Change. Who you were. Let's start with who you were.
Who I was.
Let's go back. I saw you play with Summer Inns.
Yep. Johnny B's some dramatic band. Music for this dramatic. If I'm going to have to give some background.
Give him the good stuff.
Well, why don't I play some Time for Change? I put together a montage for you.
Really?
Yeah, a little montage. Greatest hits, Time for Change.
So I remember earlier this morning, Teo was saying that he was excited to hear the story about... all the changes that I've gone through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, you know, we have a fairly similar story to, you know, a few other bands that have been broken up by Steve-O. It was actually Steve-O
I was at their final show.
You've got to kid me.
He broke up Waverly.
I was at their final show.
He broke up Amberlin.
He did. He basically broke up House of Heroes.
I was there for Summer Inns. My buddy Johnny B's band, right? It was their CD release show, and Time for Change was playing. And there was this really rowdy lead singer and just like cursing and being crazy. And I remember it wasn't clearly because this was BC days. So I pseudo remember throwing something and saying, get off the stage. But it was because I wanted to see Johnny B. Mm. And then they quit. That was it. That was the
last
show.
Dude, why you gotta break up a band?
I just break up bands like nobody's business, man. I break up with bands like, never mind.
And so after he broke us up, I moved to Corrales and I ride horses.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Very nice.
You changed the trajectory of his life, Steven.
That's Steven. That's not your life. That
Those are
Steven
devil's
life.
Dogs.
That was
How
a
many
different
people
life,
are you
going
to give to the devil's dogs?
Let's talk for real.
For real, though. I was in Time for Change. We were a local band here in Albuquerque. We got to live out a lot of our dreams on a somewhat large scale to us. We got to open for a lot of big bands that we always looked up to and stuff. We were fairly successful on that level. And then I became a Christian. My life changed radically. And I thought at that point that I couldn't be in the band, you know, and be a Christian. I realized I feel a lot different about it now. Maybe for that time it was the right decision, but I quit the band to pursue discipleship.
Yeah.
And...
Let's talk about that for a second. What year was it that happened when you accepted Christ?
That had to be, I guess it was like 2002?
2002, because I met you right around 2001, I believe.
Strange and nostalgic to be here hanging out. Yeah. I was thinking about it as I drove into this place, thinking, I'm going to go and hang out on the radio with Dex and Steve-O here at this place.
At this one building together.
It's just super cool.
Ken used to come on the Morning Edge back in the day when you guys were playing at the Launchpad or Sunshine, and you guys would come in and perform live, and we'd always go out to your events. And
I was working at Best Buy, I remember vividly working at Best Buy listening to the Morning Show on the Edge, and I remember you saying that Time for Change was your favorite local band.
Yeah,
and that like made me feel so good.
Yeah. Aww. I loved you guys. The music scene was so good back then.
It really was, man.
There were so many local bands, and you guys, we loved having you on some of the shows that we'd bring to town. And you guys broke up, and then I was like,
years and years. That was a long time ago. I think our last show was Valentine's Day of 2003.
Yeah.
And we just recorded some stuff. Ooh. You know, we're getting back. We're going to have a show next month. It's going to be a pretty
big
show.
All the original people in the band?
Well, everybody except for our original drummer. He's actually super busy in a pro band. He's touring all over the place.
Who's he play for?
He's in this band called These Wild Plains.
Cool.
They're like a... It's funny. I did not expect this.
It's opposite of pop punk.
They're totally like indie country.
What?
Dude, that's
but
the
they're
thing,
really good.
Though.
Right.
That's like the alternative country is just the thing.
Yeah. They're really
Everybody's
good,
Everybody's like, alternative
country. Who plays for Kelly Clarkson?
Lester
from Pillar.
Plays for drums. Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
That's funny. So it's like that dude's awesome.
Yeah.
He's,
really
he's
good.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk to us about that transformation when you accepted Christ. And, you know, before that, what was your life like before you found God?
I didn't cuss. I mean, I cussed, actually. I cussed before God.
Okay.
But then after I got saved, I stopped cussing.
You were Tom DeLonge in it on stage, you liar.
No, I mean, I don't know. Really, it's kind of funny because I actually have video of myself with this tattoo on my arm that says saved, you know, just totally swearing up a storm at Edgefest. And I remember thinking that was like a funny contradiction, but it's not so much about, you know, what I said or didn't say. There was a real transformation that took place in my heart when it came to priorities, you know? And it instantly, you know, Jesus became the priority.
Yeah.
And then over the last, you know, 12, 13 years, I've been trying to figure out what that means, you know, and implement that, you know.
I remember when I first met you, because it's interesting that you say I cussed. I think we all carry these certain things with us from our past that, because there are definite character traits, if you will, about me before I met Christ that I'm still, I don't want to say ashamed of, but I still go, man, I wonder how that affected somebody. Because I remember, you might even remember this, but I remember when I first met you and realized that you were the singer from Time for Change, and I said, oh, dude, you guys played a show with my buddy Johnny B, and I remember you clearly apologizing for your language.
And
saying, oh man, I'm so sorry. You were there. Oh, and I remember that. And so it's so funny that I think we all carry certain things where maybe it's like, not even necessarily ashamed, but it's just something that's like, man, I'm not that person. Like if I run into high school people, it's a very immediately like, hey, yeah, so I found Christ and I'm a very different human being than I was back then. Let me apologize for this and this and this. And
well, and my joke, I mean, that was kind of, it was obviously a joke when you're saying the thing about cussing, because I remember reading the back of, one of the things that Francis Chan said in Crazy Love. That's a great book.
Yeah, it is.
So one of the things that he said in that book was that, you know, becoming a Christian is so much more than you don't cuss anymore.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
But that's how it gets viewed sometimes.
Yeah. I don't cuss. I don't drink as much. It's totally different.
Hey, but actually, you know, like, I've gone through seasons with the whole, so I probably cuss more now than I did a few years ago.
You're growing in your faith.
Stop it!
Well, it's interesting to me, because I grew up strict Southern Baptist and never cursed. I remember one time accidentally cursing in front of my friends at school and just feeling like I had, you know, murdered somebody. Literally, it was just like, oh my gosh, I have just ruined Jesus's his entire reputation has That's been crazy. Ruined by me.
It hangs on me.
Exactly.
All of it.
Yep. We put a lot of that on ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And interestingly enough to me now, it's like you realize when sometimes when you're angry with somebody and those emotions fly out and you like cuss or whatever, you're being completely like the most honest you can be with another person in the moment. And of course you regret it later.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
like,
yeah, and then like, but that also like, this is like probably an kind of an abstract thought, but yeah. Like, I also think about the fact that I'm not endorsing saying that like, you know, using, you know, foul language is like a godly thing, but or really could be, I guess. But I mean, if you look at a lot of the language that God uses mm-hmm. when He's speaking through the prophets in the Old Testament, He says some pretty offensive stuff culturally,
he does.
You know, and He says it in obviously a righteous way, and He says right, it to yeah. get attention because this is serious stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, what I was saying was when you're that honest with somebody, that's like a real connection between the two of you. It's negative, you know, but it's a real connection. And so a lot of times you hear about people like cursing at God or whatever, or just in general, but that's an honest expression between a person and God who they right. genuinely believe in. You would only curse at somebody if you believed they were actually there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's really interesting.
And so it's kind of, I'm not justifying it because, like I said, you always feel stupid about it later.
But I think it's a good discussion because, as you said, you know, growing up in the church, you know, it was a list of rules.
Yeah.
And you had to do these things. And if you didn't do these things, I mean, you were basically not really a Christian, or you were backslidden, or whatever terminology they wanted to put on it. And so when I hit my 20s and started to try and discover what it meant to truly like live for Jesus, live for something outside of myself, to truly try and walk this road mm-hmm. with this very personal God, it changed everything because it was way more than just that. And it freaked me out. Mm-hmm. You know, if it was something as simple as following a list of rules, I mean.
Well, what I've learned really, what I've really been learning in the last few years, man, has been that I have the utmost clarity as to the fact that following Jesus and knowing Jesus, being a Christian, has little or nothing to do with perfection, but everything to do with faith, man.
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean,
right.
Because he's allowed my failings time and time again just to remind me of the fact that it's not about my failings. It's about his victory, right?
Yeah. Right. One thing that, you know, I've noticed with my walk over the past few years is God deals with each of us differently, you know? He convicts our hearts differently. And there might be somebody who cusses. Maybe they just found a relationship with Jesus and they're still cussing. I think that's okay because I think the Holy Spirit's going to take care of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like each of us at certain times in our walk, God is dealing with that one issue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe two issues, but usually it's one with me. That he's convicting. Yeah, maybe five.
Maybe 2.5.
Well, it's going to take a lifetime to do it. You know
what
I mean? I growing up, it was always like, it was almost like you had to get right, you had to get straight before you could come to Christ, you know? And I always joke and say, you know, this prolific theologian once said, come as you are, his name's Kurt Cobain. But it's so true. Like, that we can approach the throne of grace as, we, like, filthy, disgusting sinner, you can approach God, you can stare him in the face.
Well, and guess what? 15 years after you're a Christian, that's still how you're approaching the throne.
Absolutely. Dude, this last week, we had the opportunity to lead worship here at Calvary Albuquerque, and I was overwhelmed. It was one of the most, it was a very special evening for me, but that's it, because it was almost like this, and it might surprise some people, so I'll pull back a little maybe, but being there in the midst of this beautiful, intimate evening of worship, at the same time, my heart and my life, I'm dealing with issues. Currently, I am.
Yeah.
And so it was tremendous to be able to be there worshiping, because in that moment it wasn't like, well, but I'm not worthy to be on this stage or to, you know, whatever.
Dude, yeah.
Like it was just this beautiful experience to be able to worship my Creator very openly, genuinely, and honestly in the midst of
a life that feels kind of crazy.
That is the best way to lead worship.
Amen. Yeah. And I got to say, watching you, you could see it. Yeah. And you could feel it, too. And
you could feel it on the couch.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting.
I was. I was sitting there with my tablet lazy, watching these guys. I was praising the Lord. And, oh, Steve-O. He's,
this is great. He's oh, jumping I just around. Got a notification for Clash of Clans. Hang on, Steve-O.
Well, let me give a shout out to I want to give a shout out to my boys in the band, to Dex. Yes. I think he's listening this morning. Lenny, if he ends up hearing this, I'm so excited. He's going to be coming out from Las Vegas, Nevada for this show.
Yeah.
And so we actually started getting back and recording because of the fact that I was going through I reached out to the guys because I was going through a really interesting trial in my life. Where I was leading worship. I'd been leading worship in church for quite a few years. And then suddenly I lost my voice. Oof. And I lost it to the point where I couldn't even speak at times. And it's still an ongoing thing.
What
still
happened?
Well, we don't know. I've seen lots of specialists and stuff. And
you could talk?
No.
Were you able to talk?
I've had like scopes in my throat,
and
cameras.
Nothing like that?
Nothing like that. But, dude, But regardless of what it is, there's been some tremendous lessons that have come through it, you know. But one of them was that, you know, sometimes you don't know what you have until it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Cinderella song?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't know what you got till it's gone.
And Prince comes out.
So I was listening to that song. No, I wasn't, actually. But I think that you have time, you know, and you have, you know, if you have musical talent, like something that was always on my mind is I don't have enough time to record all the songs in my head. I don't have time to do this. I need to make time to do this. And then it was like when I lost my voice, it was like, oh, God, I lost the chance, you know. It was so heartbreaking. And then
in
I started.
That moment, Jesus showed up and said, it's time.
For change.
So many.
Yeah, it was a prophetic vision.
That's going to happen a lot.
It's okay. He's holding up a two.
Hey, it's
crap.
It's a dumb band name, man. You guys got to, you're going to, we roast
that
it ourselves.
No way. Not true at all. That was a great band name.
But anyway. Freshman 15, that's what mine
was. So anyways, you know, I started to get my voice back slowly, and that's actually kind of still where I am right now.
Yeah,
getting things back slowly. I don't know what's happening, but I'm able to sing a little bit now.
Awesome.
And so when I was able to sing, I was like, "Hey, Dex, do you want to get together?" And I'm talking about Dex, the guitar player in the band. Hey, dude, would you be open? And I reached out to him out of the blue. You know, we hadn't talked in years, and I'm like, "Would you be up for getting together just to record some old T4C stuff?" Because I want to hear those songs.
Yeah.
You know, I want to have that, you know. I'd like to have that, you know, to be able to listen to it.
Did
I
he
like
hang up
songs.
On you? He hung up on you, didn't
he? He messaged me back right away. Totally, I'd be down for it.
That's cool.
But I don't think either of us realized that we'd be doing this right now, that we actually were playing a show with, like, one of our favorite bands of all time, locally, Left Unsaid.
I was like, Goldfinger?
No. Journey, man.
Yeah!
They've reunited with Steve Perry.
Yeah, we'll talk about that show here when we come back. Time for Change. Talking with Ken Hendricks, the lead singer. A lot of your stuff's up on YouTube.
Yeah.
You guys sound great.
Thanks, man.
This takes me back, dude.
All right, Ken hanging out with us. When we come back, Teo's got more headlines. We have a great story on the way about a 30-year-old who was caught playing high school basketball.
We're also going to have to talk about your friend Jeremy Wade of River Monsters. Insanity.
He better be okay.
Dude. Crazy story coming from Australia.
Hang out with us. It's the Morning Invasion.
The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
Your attention, please. We'll be right back.
It's time for the Morning Invasion.
I love those guys.
On Star 88.
Hey, what's going on in the news today?
Prince has died.
Just want your extra time and your
He was 57 and had suffered flu-like symptoms for several weeks, found unresponsive in an elevator at his Paisley Park recording studio and home in Minneapolis.
Donald Trump may be grounded. The FAA says the registration expired.
The aircraft has been flying without the appropriate authority from the FAA for a number of months.
Pennsylvania regulators have fined Uber nearly $11.4 million for operating in the state without permission.
The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits fell to the lowest level in more than four decades.
Part of an elevated bike lane that was built in Rio ahead of this summer's Olympic Games has collapsed.
A line of thunderstorms through the Houston area has aggravated the flooding there. Some of the creeks rose.
It is 7:42.
High today of 77 degrees. Bless you?
Nuh-uh.
Check the road.
So we got two accidents to report right now. I-40 West between San Pedro and San Mateo. Happened about 7:15, but it was updated a few minutes ago. It's reduced to two lanes right there. Also, there's an accident reported at I-40 West in Louisiana that happened a little after that. So if you are westbound on 40, it's just a mess right now, especially over in the San Pedro, San Mateo, Louisiana, Eubank area. You're probably down to about 15 miles an hour. So watch out for that stuff. A couple of accidents. Also, we have to say happy birthday to somebody.
Happy Dom!
Birthday. Happy birthday to Dom.
Can I call her Domino?
Yeah, Domino.
It just reminds me of X-Force.
I thought you were saying it was dumb that we're telling somebody happy birthday.
Dom! No, her name is Dominique. But I'm going to start calling her Domino because she's one of my favorite characters in X-Force.
She's our friend Heidi over at SoPo's friend. Happy birthday, Dom.
Happy birthday,
Dom.
Happy birthday.
Dom!
Happy birthday.
That's right.
I hope she goes to jail.
No! What? No, we did not! That's a serious birthday party.
Why would you say that? That's not nice.
Good luck in jail, Dom.
I wanted to say something really quick. No, my daughter's listening right now. Jaden, you're going to do great today. She's got she's trying out for Five Star. She's in show choir.
Oh, cool.
And my daughter is probably, she is. She's the greatest dancer, singer. Okay, she's the greatest girl on this planet, okay? She just really is. I'm sorry everybody else who has, you know, a daughter, but I have the best daughter in the universe.
There's a little bias there.
Just putting it out there. I'm sorry, but I do. Lord bless.
We're
going to
fight
Jane
in the parking lot.
Well,
after.
Wait,
say.
What? Ken? No. I'm
say.
Sorry, buddy. My daughter is the best. I'm sorry. But good luck today. And I love you a lot because she was so nervous yesterday. She was saying, I'm so nervous, Dad. She has to do this big tryout. And I remember being like that when I was a kid. And now seeing your little one going through that, that nervousness, you just want to jump in and do it for her.
Totally.
You know?
I got this.
Let me just, you know what? Let me do this. I'll go dance for you.
Yeah. Dude, our children.
Nobody wants to see that.
We were just talking off air. We got our boy Ken in studio. Front man of Time for Change. And all around just really rad guy. We were talking about being a parent off air. Last night, there was a moment in my evening where I almost had to go to the bathroom so that I could cry it out. Because my 3-year-old, He's a little rebellious. You know, 3 is kind of, that's where all of a sudden, like, life kicks in for a child, I guess. Because last night, everybody's tired, and you have to remember, like, it's not rebellious. It's just he's tired.
I don't know about that.
Right?
I think it's a little bit of both.
It is a little bit of both. We talk about disciplining our kids, and I will say he's the baby. So, like, my 12-year-old, when he hit our firstborn, it was like, oh, spare the rod, spoil it, just spankings and groundings and life. Well, then it came to Luke, and Luke didn't respond to spankings whatsoever. Like, he responded to timeout. He responded to things being taken away and removed, and obviously every child is different. But Brody's 3. And I think I've threatened a spanking before, but I don't know that I've ever actually taken a hand to him. And
Johnny,
so he's a little cray-cray, you know what I mean? Well, last night, we got some B-dubs because it was Thursday, you know?
Man,
so it was
you guys
cheap wing
love
night.
That place.
Dude, it's my jam.
What's B-dubs?
It's in Buffalo.
We can't really.
Oh, B-dubs. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Sorry, it's not a commercial. So, you know, it's one of those evenings. Everybody's got baseball. So it's like, what are we going to do? All right, let's just get this. It's quick. It's whatever.
Brody's favorite are the fries. Mostly because he can't have dairy. He's got this crazy allergy stuff going on. So fries are one of the only things he can eat there.
One.
Get this giant basket. We order a giant basket of fries, all these wings. And I jump in the car because it's carry out. We go home. We get all the way home before I realize the giant basket of fries is not in the back.
Uh-oh.
Beep.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
That's like the only thing that Brody can eat.
And
I'm like,
no.
Crap. So we're getting dinner ready. And if you can imagine this.
Sorry, son.
So Chrissy's helping with Jack and Luke's plates, and I'm getting, you know, we're getting everything together. And Chrissy hands Brody his little dinky plate, and then he says, "Where are the French fries?" To which I say, "Oh,
you're
buddy,
fasting,
there
son.
Are no French fries." Oh. And he goes, "What? No French fries?" And hits me.
Yeah.
No.
Shut up.
Like, not like a, I'm sad and, oh, darn, I can't believe it. Straight up, like, irritated at
fist
me.
Brody. No
in
way.
The leg goes, no.
Oh.
And
it's your fault.
Hits me. And I'm going, oh.
Child, thine shall be smoked.
But it's really funny how God works, because my response immediately was like, oh, I know I need to discipline this child, but we were talking recently with Double J, and he was talking about how he would never lay a harmful hand on a child, right?
Because what he went through.
Because of what he went through with his past. And I've always been an advocate of, like, well, spanking and hitting are completely different things, and you still need to discipline your child. But in that moment, to a 3-year-old, I was thinking, is he going to understand, like, what he did with what I'm doing, and what does Brody care most about? Well, he cares most about time with his parents.
And French fries.
And French fries, obviously, because he just decked me over some fries. So I looked down at him and I said, "Did you just hit me?" And he went, like a dawning realization of what he had done, and lost it and just wanted to hug me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right? And I'm like, no, no.
What?
And I went down to his level, and it was like this. It was this horrible, I want to cry, because I've been really worried about this, because I don't really discipline Brody because he's the baby and he's my favorite. Sorry, Jack and Luke, you're just not Brody.
Yeah, so, I've known this for a while.
So I love this
game. Jack and Luke, you are my favorite.
Yeah, collectively. So I'm like down on my knees looking him in the eyes and realizing in that moment, like in this moment, this is the way God views me. Like, I suck. I am filthy. I screw up. And I...
Well, when crap happens, we think it's his fault.
Right? Yeah. And right.
Yeah.
And we blame God. Yeah. And it was like, y'all, no French fries! Screw you, God!
Where are my car keys,
God? I'm
going
to hit you, God!
So funny.
But we rebel in these moments, and then that dawning realization of, like, how it's our failure, our sin, and how God just adores us and loves us. So I got down in front of him, and... at least wanted him to have an understanding of the pain he was feeling, because he immediately felt dread. Like, he understood, like, oh no. And he just wanted to hug me because he was so sorry.
Wow.
And I had to get down there and say, buddy, you cannot hit. I know. You know, and it was like, I've never seen Brody cry like this. It was the saddest moment. And it was like, and you want to embrace him, but it's like, he still has to deal with this for a second, because there still are consequences to our actions. So I said, I need you to come over here with me. And I sat him down in a chair and kind of let him cry it out for, it was probably really like 30 seconds, but I was like timing it out in my brain. Like, I got to let him like kind of live with this for a second. I'm going to let him live with this. I'm going to let him do it. And then, okay, I got to rush over there and just kind of rush back over there and go, I love you so much. Mm-hmm. And he cried and cried and apologized. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, and it was just like, I love you. Mm. And his sobbing, I love you too. You know, and then he didn't want to eat dinner. He just wanted to hold me. You know, and it was like this incredible moment. And we're talking off air.
I'm just like wishing that I had this with my little
girl. We were talking.
We were like, why doesn't she hit me and then cry?
We were just talking about off air. Well, each kid
hits me and laughs.
Each kid is different. Do you know what I mean? Like. And yet, at the same time, God is so perfect in the way he handles each of us. Because I think when we come to God's word, we think like, well, this person did this, so God's going to react this way. But he crafted and created us, and every single one of us are unique and different and understands what we need as a parent. And so it was incredible last night just to have that moment with him, because after that, it was just all daddy. You know, it was just like... this dawning realization that he wounded, it didn't hurt. I mean, he's 3 years old, but it hurt more to watch him suffering. It hurt so much more to watch him be in pain because of something he did. And I think a lot of times we think God is upstairs, the big man upstairs who is watching us, and when we fail, just go, oh, idiot. Here, let me pour down some consequences on him. All right, gosh. are you finished, stupid? When really God's like down on his knees, like, on our level, just weeping it out with us, going, I'm so sorry you're dealing with the pain that you caused yourself because of your sin. And yet, I just, come here, man. I love you.
Oh, yeah.
I want to embrace you. I have not given up on you.
Yeah.
He's the best dad.
He is the best dad. Mm. And it's overwhelming at times. And sorry, I don't know why.
Well, you're tugging on my heartstrings. Yeah. So this is making me say, I got to give a shout out to my beautiful wife up in Santa Fe. Hi, Crystal. I love you. And my little girl, Maylene. I love you, sweetheart. Hearing Daddy on the radio, I'm sure you're getting excited. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're just playing with Legos or something.
We got Ken Hendricks hanging out with us. He's in a band called Time for Change. And you guys just recently got put on the Left Unsaid show.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Left Unsaid is another one of those bands who was a big deal back in the early 2000s. And
when the band scene here didn't suck. Oh, yeah. Man, right? Right?
You know, you.
Maybe I just don't know it. Maybe I'm just.
That's what I wanted to ask you, Ken.
I haven't been out there in it either.
Oh, you, okay.
What were you going to ask me?
I was going to ask because you being in that world, kind of still. What is the music scene like now? I mean, us being all grown up and having careers and families, we don't make it out very often.
I don't really know so much locally. The thing that really excites me about the music scene, just personally, is the fact that pop punk is blowing up again.
It really is, huh?
And I love some of the new bands that are coming out. Like, we were talking about State Champs, we were talking about Neck Deep.
Probably so excited for Warped Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we were
I mean, because you got Yellow Card, Newfound Glory, you got State Champs, you got the new and the old.
Am I the only one that's like, I really want to see Sum 41.
Oh, that's my biggest one.
Dude, Brown Sound's back in the band, the original guitar player.
Actually, everybody's saying Brown Sound. That's the first time I've heard that is like within the last 6 months.
No way.
I never heard him. But I mean, he's an amazing guitar player.
He's awesome. That's what they called him back in the day.
But that's actually, Sum 41 is one of the only bands that I haven't seen yet. So I'm super excited.
Well, it's exciting too because their singer, talk about people going over to addiction and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Derek Whibley got horribly sick and almost died. And then luckily got into a rehab. And now he's back on tour and clean.
It's very cool.
Good grief. But he, like, if you look at the pictures when it was going down, like, he looked like he was about to die. You know?
Yeah, I remember reading about that and him saying, you know, we're going to come back and do another album. And I was like, man, I really hope he makes it to do that.
Yeah, I hope you wake up tomorrow, you know, so you can do that. But he did. So there they are. Also, Good Charlotte will be there, which will be interesting.
Good Charlotte's actually not going to be in Albuquerque.
They're not.
Oh, really?
That's okay.
What?
I've never been.
I know. I like one of their new songs.
Really?
I haven't listened. One of the two that I've heard I like.
I was never a big Good Charlotte fan. Yeah. I like that first record and then kind of.
Well, coming up here in just a second, we're going to talk to Eric from the band Left Unsaid.
Nice.
And my heart goes out to Eric because, you know, he got the news recently about his little girl, Annika. She got this. Gaucher
disease.
Huh.
Yeah, she just got diagnosed with that.
She's like one of 14 cases known in the state, and she's youngest person living with it.
So we're going to talk to him about that and, you know, keep praying for the Garay family. Awesome, awesome people. Love those guys. So we're going to talk to Eric when we come back. More with Ken Hendricks from this band, Time for Change. It's the Morning Invasion. Hang out.
The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
We're going to take a break and come right back.
We'll be right back.
Fair warning, the Morning Invasion is back on Star 88.
Keep busting. Get off diamonds and pearls. Would you be a happy boy?
Time for Change?
Yes.
Time for Change.
Good.
I was like, I didn't remember that song.
That's Cam singing.
So sad. Prince died yesterday at the age of 57. And a lot of people speculating. Why? Was it an overdose?
I hate that speculation. Can't we just wait?
It just happens so much in that sphere that people go there. But I hope not. Right. It is very heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, on the same day, we lost China from WWE. And that was, I mean, it wasn't a speculation. That was the immediate thought because she was on Celebrity Rehab. And she had a gnarly heroin addiction. And,
Well, did you guys see that video? They were talking about this last, like, selfie video that she made to her fans that she posted. Mm-hmm. She was pretty messed up on it. She was like rambling on and on for like 14 minutes. I think it was made like maybe a week ago.
That's sad.
It is sad.
Hanging out with us right now in the studio is Ken Hendricks. He's in a band called Time for Change. This band, what year did you guys start? 2001, you said?
It's kind of funny because we ended up doing so much stuff, but I think that we started probably 2001, ended like shortly after the start of 2003.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and then you guys broke up and you guys hadn't done anything for a while, and then you guys started working on some music. And I'm excited.
Just for fun.
Yeah, just for fun. And you guys are going to be playing a show coming up with Left Unsaid. You want to dial
indeed.
That number there, Steve-O? Because you're so good at dialing numbers. Oh. Eric.
I think I just burped in the microphone.
It's okay.
That's fine. No worries. Eric is the bass player for the band Left Unsaid. And
did you get it first try? Hey.
Hello.
Eric, what's up, bud?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Doing good.
What's up, man?
What's up?
Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's been a little bit.
It has, man. It has.
When are we going to get back to the gym? Huh?
Yeah, next when are you
back to the
back
hot
to
tub.
The
when are we going
to
start?
We need to, man, just like back in the day.
Yeah, this is a funny story. So Eric and I, we used to work out together, and we would we'd get to the gym and we'd probably do, maybe bench press, some curls maybe, and then we'd look at each other and go, you want to go to the hot tub? Yeah, let's go to the hot tub.
Take it to the tub.
We spent most of our time in the sauna, in the hot tub, because we were fat and lazy.
Amen.
We did.
Amen.
Nothing's changed, right? I mean, what are you pushing now? You know, about 250 like me?
Yeah, pretty close, man.
The thing is with Eric,
though,
he's like
tall.
6'6".
Yeah, he's a tall guy. So you don't got an excuse.
I'm
just kidding,
man. I'm like 5'8". Yeah. So how's life, man? Congratulations on this big show that you guys are going to be doing.
Oh, it's excellent, man. And to be honest, this came out of nowhere. You know, this was actually Joe Anderson's idea. So
he's a good guy.
I'm pretty grateful that we've had so much support for everything that's happening in our lives right now. Everybody's just kind of coming together, and it's honestly been, you know, overwhelming, but a good overwhelming in the fact that, you know, our support system has just been phenomenal.
Yeah, why don't you talk a little bit about your what the disease that your daughter has? Talk about that.
Okay, so the disease is called, it's pronounced Gaucher's.
Gaucher
disease, and it's actually a rare genetic disease. And basically what's happening is her body doesn't have the ability to break down cells when it creates new ones. And your body produces like a fatty substance inside your bones. So that substance is actually building up inside her bones, but it can also affect major organs such as liver, spleen, lungs, and in worst cases, it can affect your brain, too. So there's actually three different types of Gaucher's. Annika was diagnosed with type 1, and thankfully, because, you know, the other two are typically fatal.
How old is your little girl, man?
She just turned 3 in February.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And how's she been doing with this?
You know what? She's great. She is such a trooper. I mean, it's amazing how resilient kids can be. We've been back and forth to the hospital quite a bit over the last year, and she was just recently diagnosed. It took them a long time to figure out what it was because there's not any specialists in the area. She's hanging in, though. You know, she had her port put in 2 weeks ago, So that's how they're going to administer treatment, so they don't have to hook her up to an IV.
And you said, how often is she going to have those treatments?
So this is a biweekly treatment.
Oh, man.
And it's a lifetime treatment. So we actually just had her first treatment yesterday.
How did it go?
It was tough.
Was it?
It was tough, you know, because she just doesn't understand what's going on. But, you know, once they got her hooked up, and she doesn't feel it. She doesn't feel the poke because they numb her skin and then just go in the ports in her chest right underneath her collarbone. So they hook her up, and then she actually, after that, was okay. She slept through most of it, but it was a day-long thing. We were there, you know, around 10:30 in the morning, and we didn't leave the hospital till 4:30. So she has to be hooked up for a couple hours each time.
Well, I saw that a lot of people were praying for you and your family and for her, and I was praying too, man. And, like, I really meant what I said when I posted on that picture you guys had up, that I think that, I mean, her strength is going to inspire so many people throughout her life. I think that it's such a terrible thing to endure, but I can really picture just this terrible ordeal making her like one of the strongest women around. You know,
and she's got amazing parents. You know, I mean, you guys are great. You know,
she's gonna
do some good things, man. And you got this awesome support group, like you said. Anything you guys need, always here for you guys, you know? And
thanks, guys.
Yeah. So you got Left Unsaid is getting back together. When's the last time you guys actually played a show?
So it's been 5 years since we played a show. You know, we haven't been an active band in over a decade. And, you know, one day I got a message from Joe Anderson just saying, hey, you know, I want to throw a benefit show for you guys. And I was like, yeah, that's amazing. Thanks, Joe. And he's like, I want your band to play. And I'm like, well, it's a little tough because I'm the only person that lives here anymore.
Oh, I thought that maybe Jeremy lived in Albuquerque.
No, Jeremy's in Virginia. Hunter's in Portland. Amara's in San Diego.
Oh, dang.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah. You guys are all totally pro, man. Everybody's flying in for a gig.
Yeah, and you know, Joe actually is helped out with the airfare for all those guys.
Oh, wow, so, I mean, that's cool.
What he's doing for us is just great. You know, he's been so good to us over the years. And, you know, I'm really excited to see the Time for Change guys getting back together. You know, they were a big part of our heyday as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm at,
oh, thanks, man.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait. I really can't. This is going to be a cool show. Because we were talking about the music scene a little bit, and how about you? I know, you know, you're just like us. I mean, you're a father, you're a career man now, and you probably don't make it down to many shows very often anymore. What do you think? Is the music scene here in Albuquerque, is it dead? Is it alive? Is it better than ever? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I don't either. And sometimes I wonder, it's like, you know, I look at the Alibi or the Launchpad website, and I don't know any of the bands and what's going on in the scene. And I wonder how much that is attributed to my age now. You know,
right?
Am I just getting old and don't understand? You know, like, I don't know.
Well, you know, being in radio here in Albuquerque for, you know, over 15 years, back in the early 2000s, working at The Edge, we were constantly always dealing with local bands, these great local bands like Left Unsaid and Time for Change and, you know, all these other bands. And for the past 10 years, I haven't really seen that anymore. It's just kind of dropped off into, well,
I wonder if the support's just kind of going away. Because back in the day, I remember just going to shows, not even knowing who some of the bands were, but because a friend was like, bro, you got to check out this band. I'd go, all right, I'll drop $5 at the door, $8 bucks at the door. And now, I mean, you know, with the prices of tickets increasing and the land of mañana sucking at everything, as far as support, I think that time in our lives is maybe going away because kids would rather YouTube videos than watch a band live, you know?
I think that might be true. I hope it doesn't go away. I mean, we played a little acoustic set a few weeks ago for, it was a tribute actually to a friend of ours that had passed away, and this was at the Launchpad too. And there were four other bands that were playing in addition to us, and they were good bands. And it had a decent turnout, I think, because a lot of people came together to support the cause of just, you know, doing this like kind of memorial show for a friend of ours that had passed. But I do think that might be true, Steve. I think that some people aren't really going to shows.
Well, we were on the tour I just did with House of Heroes in Houston. Man, Houston, Texas is the place right now for music, straight up. We played at this tiny little bar, and there were like six bands on the bill, which we were so stoked about. Not really. We were kind of like, six bands? What?
Were you guys last?
No, thankfully we weren't last. But it was one of those where you show up and it's like, there's four bands tonight. There's five bands tonight. We just added another band tonight. Yeah. What are we doing? So anyway,
you guys are going on at 2 a.m.
We played, though, and it was incredible. Every band that played was incredible, but in a completely different way. And that's always a good sign, you know, that there's a thriving scene or whatever. But Houston, Texas, man, it was, because I feel like there's been just, it's just overflow from Austin, because Austin and like Nashville are the big music scenes right now. And Houston is starting to be like, whoa. So hopefully that'll happen here in Albuquerque.
Well, there are some good local bands here that I've heard. I know there are. So, Eric, maybe it is just our age, man.
Maybe.
We're just old.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Well, you know, we'll hopefully get some of these, you know, young bucks out there that have never heard the Left Unsaid or the Time for Change. And there's some other bands that are on that card as well, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a great show. So my cousin plays in a band called Ghost Parade.
Dude, they are so good.
Santa Cruz, California. Yeah, and they're actually making the trip out to support us. So
nice.
I'm really, really excited about this because, you know, my cousin's kind of like a little brother to me. And, you know... I've actually fed him music from the time he was real young.
Is he the singer in that band?
He's the drummer.
Oh, okay, because I was thinking that the singer looked like you.
No, no. Mm. Yeah, he's the drummer, and, you know, he's in his late 20s, and every time my old band was recording, I was always feeding him our recordings, and he started playing drums at a young age. So when he was 11 years old, he actually played with Santana at a show.
Dang.
So, I mean, the kid is just, he's phenomenal, so... He plays in like four different bands out there and whatnot, but Ghost Parade is kind of one of his main gigs, and they're coming
out.
Awesome.
That's cool.
You know, and then we got the Coma Recovery. We also have Fault and Fracture, and of course, Time for Change. So it's going to be a great show.
Good, man.
Sweet, dude.
And it's to benefit and support your little girl, Annika Garay.
It is. And, you know, we're doing a lot of fundraising right now, and we're actually donating a portion of the proceeds to the National Gaucher's Foundation. And, you know, more than anything, we just want to raise awareness of this disease because, I mean, had you guys even heard of this? You know,
no,
we
had never heard of it. No.
We were trying to figure out how to say it, and then now it sounds French.
You said it was Gaucher? Yeah.
But, you know, we just, you know, my wife Anna and I just want to become advocates for this and get the word out because, you know, a lot of people aren't diagnosed with this disease till they're older, so they can live their whole lives in pain and you know, and even the doctors don't know about it, so they're not being tested for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, just spreading the word.
Eric, good, you said fundraisers and stuff. One of the fundraisers you guys are doing is really cool. You have a lot of really cool-looking new shirts, right?
We do. And, you know, so, like I said, a lot of people are just kind of coming around us to help out. So I have a buddy who runs a nonprofit organization called After School Depot, and he approached me and said, hey, I want to help you out. He's like, why don't we do a t-shirt fundraiser? I'll set up a web store for you. I'll donate all the labor and ink. He's like, cover the cost of the shirts, and then I'll ship them and do everything else. So
that's cool.
That has been really cool because, you know, we haven't had shirts in a long, long time. So
yeah, that's very cool.
That's been pretty great so far.
Yeah, dude. Star 88 is a local nonprofit. And then I just looked it up, the National Gaucher Foundation, or Gaucher, it's also a nonprofit. Yeah. So this show is going to be raising funds for some nonprofits, a good thing for folks to come alongside and support.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so cool, man. Great talking to you, Eric. And we're
going to
be praying for you and your family, and we're definitely going
to
be at the show.
Awesome. Yeah,
we'll keep pushing it, man, out on Facebook and stuff so everybody knows about it. The show is almost sold out, so if you do want to go, you better buy a ticket quick.
Yeah. Where's a website where people can find out more information for that show specifically, just the website?
So Launchpad... rocks.com.
Okay, cool.
It's kind of the main website, and then from there you can link to buy tickets.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Eric!
Good talking with you, man.
Yeah, good talking with you guys, too. Thanks a lot, Ken, for setting this up. I'm excited to see all you guys, man.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
Take care.
That's Eric, the bass player from the band Left Unsaid. It's
you
Friday,
didn't have any
May
left
20th.
Unsaid cute, so I just go, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. He said, dun, 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 she said, dun, dun, dun. There it is right there.
Yeah.
You know what's cool? His cousin sounds, I mean, playing with Santana and stuff.
Ah, so that's cool,
he
right?
He must be pretty smooth featuring Rob Thomas.
Oh. Yeah.
No!
Yeah. Is Josette out there?
Well,
she
rocking.
You want me to go get her?
Good. I'm gonna go grab her.
You guys go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves. BRB.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. I followed balloons today. It was like a cool morning. I took an hour or two off work. But I wanted to say, so we work with a lot of the Christian bands. I work with like Carolyn Rush and Mike Moran. We do the grassroots promotion for the guys when they come in town.
Okay.
And the support's that we have smaller venues, so we're filling up team league. You know, we got 4,000 or 5,000. We got 6,000.
Hey, can you hold on the phone, buddy?
Sure.
Just hold on the phone.
Yeah,
we'll
hang
talk
on the
to
phone
you
for us. Thank you.
All right. Well, it's Friday, and so every Friday, Josette from Swarf comes in. Southwest Animal Rescue Fund. Ken, this is your day to adopt a dog.
Ken, he's going to try to make you a dog.
You came in at the perfect time.
He says, now's your time for a dog.
It's your time, Ken.
Time for change. Get a dog.
I'm kind of afraid of that.
You should be, because he's trying to pawn dogs off on everybody.
Ken, we haven't gotten a dog adopted yet. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if the Starmie is just against dogs or if they're just so busy. Maybe they just don't have room and time for a dog, but we need to get a dog adopted.
My headphones just turned into a Rubik's Cube.
I saw you trying to figure that out. I was like, what's he doing over there? Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. You're going to have to figure that out on your own.
But come on, Starmie, please step up to the plate and let's start adopting these dogs.
There we go. Got it.
You need a dog. You need a dog. You need a dog.
Thanks,
over there.
Oprah.
I love this song.
Mm. Yeah. Dog song.
Brings back memories.
Dog show.
This makes me laugh.
Dog show.
Now, here's the deal. I understand that not everybody should have a dog. Not everybody is responsible enough to have
that?
A dog. I get it. So not everybody can have a dog.
Well, I mean, I guess if you hate dogs. Yeah. Why do you hate dogs, people?
Well, and also, people need to have time. You have to walk them. You have to feed them. You have to water them. It takes time to do all that stuff with the dog. It
takes a little time sometimes.
The watering is probably the most important. If you don't water your dog, they can't grow.
How many dogs
like it's
do
a plant?
Have?
Exactly.
Okay.
Somebody might want to check on Vader.
Vader gets his daily watering every day.
I've been pouring water on my dog every day. I don't know why he's dying.
He gets so mad at me. He just bites me, and I'm like, here's more water.
His fur is so smooth. And I just love him so much.
Ridiculous.
It's little Vader, right? It's little Vader. Come here, buddy. Okay.
That's interesting.
Okay. So Ken Hendricks is hanging out with us from Time for Change, playing that benefit show for Annika Gray. Left Unsaid.
Dude, I don't
coming
know
back
where
together.
Steve-O has gone.
Yeah,
to
I
get
thought
Joe
that I thought they'd be back in time, but we'll just talk to Ken more about this Time for Change thing because
I don't know if there's much more to talk about, man.
Well, the show's almost sold out. And I think what, $10 for a ticket?
Yeah,
$10.
Proceeds going to nonprofit, the Gaucher Foundation.
Gaucher Foundation.
To help out with that very rare disease that Eric, we just talked to, his daughter is suffering from.
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, becoming a father, becoming a parent, and seeing your little one have to go through pain is so hard. It is
it
so
is,
hard
man.
As a parent to see that. And hearing Eric's story about how their little three-year-old daughter is having, she doesn't really understand what's going on yet, you know?
Yeah,
and
I can't imagine.
She's going to have to deal with this now for possibly the rest of her life if they don't find a cure for it, you know?
I think that's what made it so that this show and this cause is so much closer to my heart, because my little girl, she's 4, her name's Maylene, you know, on a much smaller scale, you know, when it comes to things that people live with and conditions and stuff, she has asthma. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, even like her, Crystal and I, when we found out she had asthma, it freaked us out, you know, especially because you guys know Levi,
mm-hmm.
right? And,
oh,
and what
yeah.
happened with his daughter.
Such an intense
like,
story.
That it was close to that time. We're like, oh my God, this is going to be crazy. This is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine this stuff. I mean, Eric and his wife having to take her to have this port
treatments
put in her
every
chest.
Day. Yeah.
It's intense, man.
Yeah, it is. All right. Well, let's take a break. And then when we come back, we'll talk with Josette from Swarf. And we're going to get this little dog adopted. So hang out with us.
Stay tuned. The Morning Invasion is coming back. It's time for The Morning Invasion. Here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo.
I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the sound.
It's magic.
On Star 88.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
Prince has died.
Just want your extra time and your
He was 57 and had suffered flu-like symptoms for several weeks, found unresponsive in an elevator at his Paisley Park recording studio and home in Minneapolis.
Donald Trump may be grounded. The FAA says the registration expired.
The aircraft has been flying without the appropriate authority from the FAA for a number of months.
Pennsylvania regulators have fined Uber nearly $11.4 million for operating in the state without permission.
The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits fell to the lowest level in more than four decades.
Part of an elevated bike lane that was built in Rio ahead of this summer's Olympic Games has collapsed.
A line of thunderstorms through the Houston area has aggravated the flooding there. Some of the creeks rose.
It is 8:36.
High today of 77 degrees. Let's take a look. See, we had some stuff going on earlier. It looks like the accident that was over at like Louisiana and 40 and all that stuff has been cleared, but there's an accident on the transition ramp over at eastbound Paseo to southbound I-25, and the right lane is blocked, so watch out for that. That's your look at traffic.
Fridays, Josette from Swarf comes in. Southwest Animal Rescue Fund.
Hey, guys.
She brings in some dogs.
Dogs.
Hi, Josette.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
So far, so good. How are you?
You know, I'm pretty good, you know. I don't know which way to turn anymore.
You never will.
I'm always sick behind you awkwardly.
I know. It's so weird.
I'm just trying to hide from the camera.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys can log on to star88.fm and go to our Watch Now link.
Yeah.
And you can check out these wonderful dogs.
There you go.
Who did you bring in this morning?
I brought Bert and Harry. And they've been here before.
They've been here before, Starmie.
I'm cheating.
No, this is not cheating. This should not happen, Starmie. Yeah. We need some people to step up to the plate. And if you think you can handle a dog in your life, then you need to go and check these dogs out.
Well, and you know, I brought them the first week I came here, so however long it's been, you know, what, 2 months or something? Anyways, and they are just the best boys. I mean, they're the best fosters I've had, and obviously there's two of them. They act as one. They are just the best buddies, and they're
so
Look
chill.
How easy they are.
Yeah. So this is a package deal.
It is. They are a bonded pair, and, you know, I got Harry first because they both came from the Mesa, and Harry came in first. He was very ill, and his vetting finished up, and so I went back out to take food to the colony of dogs, and Bert was just the saddest little guy, and he was just depressed and not eating, and so I took him to get some vetting and make sure he was okay, and as soon as he saw Harry at my house, they literally crawled up together in a little ball in the corner, and they whined for like 30 minutes in a ball together. Aww. Like, it was the cutest thing. I wasn't sure what was happening. I was like really sad.
Yeah.
But they just, and even, you know, sometimes I'll let Harry outside and shut the door and Bert stays in. He does okay as long as he can see Harry.
Yeah.
But that's his buddy.
Oh.
I mean, that's his bud.
That's cool.
I've been taking them for walks separately to kind of help the you know,
transition
of just existing.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bert's really attached to his buddy.
Well, Ken is here, and Ken is ready to adopt these dogs.
No, stop it right now.
Oh, great, Ken. That's funny.
Yeah, he's ready to take these dogs back to Santa Fe.
He was just thinking it's time for change.
Yeah.
And that change
involves two dogs.
It's a big change.
Look, honey. Look what I got.
Look what followed me home.
Don't do that.
You're never going on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. I would be we would be in so much trouble.
Oh, Crystal would kill us.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine?
That
doesn't usually go over well. Yeah, surprise dogs are not surprises. It never really goes well.
And
you know, really on that note, we've had a few adopters that were like, "Well, I want to surprise my fiance with a puppy or a dog." And you know, I get the concept, but darn, it's just not a good idea because what if she's like, "Yeah, no, I'm not ready for this."
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, she didn't help pick the dog, or I mean, there's so many things that could just not really work out, and then they come back and
they're cool surprises for kids.
That's true.
Brody, man, that was his birthday present.
Oh,
was Rocket, and
2 days late, but that's okay.
Whatever, he did not care. He still, just last night, he was just holding, and he says, "I think he loves me."
Aww.
Because he was licking his face, and I said, "He loves you, buddy.
He does love you.
He's my puppy."
How
like,
cute.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, check out these dogs. Go to star88.fm and click the Watch Now. We'll also put some photos up at our Facebook page, and you guys can get all the details about Swarf. And these two guys right here.
He's super mellow. And, you know, They both know sit, stay. They wait for their food. I'll put their bowls down, and they wait until I tell them to go. They walk great on a leash.
Oh, my gosh. One is walking on two legs right now. What?
This dog.
He's a superhero.
Look, he's Bert. Spinning a basketball on his paw right now. This is amazing.
This dog,
just
Bert.
About,
oh,
I'm
my goodness.
You know they're on the webcam, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
You listen. Have to get to the webcam and listen. Check this out. This is
he
a,
might be done by the time this you is amazing. Dog,
this dog is just like Beans. This yeah. is the dog version of Beans, the cat.
See?
His name is Bert.
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 So if you've ever wanted a Beans in your life, here's Bert. And he's a dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They walk really well on a leash. Last time I came in, they didn't know what a leash was. I mean, they were not good at that.
Yeah.
But they're great now. They walk really well. And they walk. I can hold them both in one hand, and they just cruise together right yeah. side by side. It's real easy.
Cool.
They're great.
Talk about your thrift shop real quick.
It's called Secondhand Treasures. It's in Corrales, 3701 Corrales Road. And we're open 10 to 4, 7 days a week, and it's what allows us to do what we do in dog rescue. We're a 501c3 organization, and we accept donations at the thrift store all the time. 100% of everything there is donated, and 100% of the profit from the store goes to the dog rescue. And we're a fund, so we fund and we give grants to other dog rescues and or other organizations. Many other organizations, and we fund spay and neuter clinics. We fund transports, and I mean that's how we try to help the most.
Mm-hmm.
Harry likes to show his butt.
Wow!
He just puts it up
he
in the air.
It up. That was amazing.
He can actually do it on command. I tell him, Harry, show me your butt, and he drops his head. But at the thrift store, I mean, again, that allows us to do what we do with dogs and funding and everything else. So, I mean, it's a great shop, and it's in Crawl. It's a great location, and you should come check it out. There's lots of goodies, lots of treasures.
We'll post all those details again. Facebook.com/star88FM. Go and check out these two great dogs if you are ready to add to your family.
And I'll actually have them at the store. Oh, I'm sorry. So we're having an adoption event Sunday.
Cool.
It's going to be at Petco by Cottonwood Mall. And we'll be out front. Bert and Harry will be there. Baby girl, Drogo, all the ones that I've had in here, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, so they'll love all it. Be there. So that's a good chance to come out and
outside
meet them
in the parking lot?
Underneath a tent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good.
All right.
All right, Josette. Thanks for coming
thanks.
In.
Of course. Thank you.
All right.
I know you want to shame me. It went wrong. You blame me. But I'm just a baby guarding you bravely. Sneak in out the gate. You caught up way too late. Mailman took a chance. Now he needs new pants. I pee on your scarf and eat my own barf. Looking at you smug while I drag my butt on the rug. Find things to bark at. Pooping on the carpet. Humping on the pillowcase. Making a weird face. Chewed up the duvet. It was ugly anyway.
The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
We're going to take a break and come right back.
We'll be right back.
In its earliest days, the major function of radio was news. News was the warp and woof of life. But with this contribution came a bonus. Entertainment.
Sing that Steve Perry again.
Don't stop believing. Oh,
there it is.
Gosh, that's good.
They tell us radio is dead, but this isn't entirely true. It is gone, all right, but it isn't dead.
I just love to sing, guys. I just love it.
Because with us, it's all about harmony.
Harmony.
Radio lives on in our minds and hearts because part of our national heritage was formed when radio was king.
Hello. Good morning.
All right.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning, folk.
Hello.
There it is.
8:49.
High today of 77 degrees.
Morning invasion! Guys, it's Jack Nicholson's birthday today. How old is he?
78.
Ken?
102.
Jack Nicholson is 70.
79.
Oh! So close.
That was close. $1, Bob.
Yeah, 22 years ago, Richard Nixon died of a stroke at the age of 82 on this day. And we're 14 days away from Captain America. 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 Who's your favorite superhero, Ken?
Favorite superhero? I have to say I don't...
I don't nerd out like you guys on that stuff.
It's okay.
But I enjoy listening to you talk about it.
Oh, that's cool.
If I had to pick
that's
a favorite superhero, what was that?
Dax always makes fun of the fact that nobody cares about our
nerd
talks.
This is Nerd City.
And you just said that you like listening to us talk.
I like it.
Well, I enjoy it too, guys. I do.
Okay, so I'm just going to pick one. I'd say Batman.
Okay.
Batman? Okay, are you hashtag Team Iron Man or hashtag Team Captain America?
Ooh, I like Captain America. That first movie they put out was awesome.
Really? You liked the first one? Because I didn't really like the first one.
Get out of here.
I didn't.
I loved it.
I loved the second one.
I really liked it.
Winter Soldier.
Second one is still my favorite Marvel movie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Until Civil War.
Wait, yeah. Did you see Batman versus Superman?
Have not seen it yet.
It's so good. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, gosh.
This week.
Mine is the new retelling of Ninja Turtles. That's what you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ken Hendricks. I like the Muppets.
Oh, yeah. You know, who doesn't like the Muppets? Who doesn't? So fun. Ken Hendricks is here. Time for Change. This is Band. They're going to be playing that benefit show on May 20th with Left Unsaid. It's all to benefit Annika Gray. Who just got diagnosed recently with Gaucher disease?
Gaucher disease.
Gaucher disease, and they want to bring that to light. They want to raise awareness about this disease. It's got to be hard, man. You take your kid in, and they can't figure out what's wrong, and it's test after test after test. Oh, can't even imagine what that's like. So we're definitely going to continue to pray for the Gray family. But
we're going to rock for the cause.
We're going to rock it out on May 20th.
Dude, I'll tell you what. It's funny because it seems we've been talking about parenting all morning. But to a very, 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 very small degree, I can understand a little just because our three-year-old, Brody, from the time that he was 1 year old, in fact, on my wife's birthday, he was just over a year old, his fevers hit 106 degrees, and he was hospitalized. And so for the last 2 years, he's been dealing with something. And we've been to, doctor after doctor, specialist after specialist. He was poked and prodded, and nobody could figure out what was going on. For 2 years, you know, we were going to different doctors and specialists. And finally, a diagnosis came back of periodic fever syndrome. And so he's actually scheduled for a surgery on May 4th.
Wow.
And so we're excited and nervous, you know what I mean? Because it's like, well, we finally know and have an understanding, but it is terrifying to think about. And so I can understand
Understand, but I can understand it.
Dude.
I could only imagine. I mean, when I thought about what Eric and his family were going through, I was like, man, what if this was Maylene?
Right.
And it was like,
dude, Brody's our third. And Jack and Luke have never even been to the urgent care, much less an emergency room. And right. So it was a very different world when we had Brody because... from the time that, well, even before he was born, he was our baby that, well, he's got a little spot. They noticed a little spot in his heart, and he has a heart murmur, and so right after he was born, we had to take him to a heart specialist. I mean, so from the time that before he was born even, there was always something health-wise, you know what
and
I mean?
And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that can identify with this stuff. I mean, and it also seems like we were just at the urgent care yesterday with Maylene because she has asthma. So when she has a cold or something like that, it lingers forever, and it usually ends up turning into an infection, unfortunately. But so we were at the urgent care with her yesterday, and the doc was actually, he was a great doctor, which I think is kind of a rarity these days that you come across a really, really personable, engaging doctor. You know, but he was talking a lot about the fact that, you know, he thinks that he just sees a lot more stuff these days.
Yeah,
that, you know, whatever's going on with the environment, whatever's going on with you know, what we're giving our kids to eat these days when it comes to all the junk and stuff.
It's our milk, man. That milk that we're letting our kids drink.
Brody can't have any dairy of any kind. So you mock, you jerk.
Neither can you, right?
I'm just kidding.
He's going to end up living longer.
You can't eat dairy at all, right?
No, not really. Yeah. I mean, I'm the dummy that's an adult that's like, I'll do what I want! And then later I'm like, what? Why? Yeah, I mean, you can. We've been given free will. God says, man, you have that bowl of ice cream. And then later it's like, oh, consequences!
Yeah, for real.
I love ice cream.
Dude, me too!
I know what you're...
It's so good to eat it without consequence.
Yeah, Ken, you talked about your daughter having asthma. My oldest son, same thing. Sometimes I wish he lived in a bubble. Because if somebody's sick, he'll get sick. And he gets really sick.
Yeah.
So we have to do the
that
treatments.
Terrible cough, like that like doesn't stop.
And yeah.
She gets bad. The same thing I have. I do not suffer with it near as much as she does. So it's heartbreaking.
You have to bust out the nebulizer and keep up on the treatments because it could turn into pneumonia and they could die if you're not. You know.
Thanks for that encouraging thought.
Thanks,
Dex. Just saying, you know, you got to keep up on that. You know, I'm actually inventing a bubble for my son. So.
Dude, that's what we got to do. We got to we'll be billionaires. Yeah. We'll invent a bubble for children.
It's a bubble suit. It's not an actual a ball.
Church invented that years ago,
suit.
Guys. You're not going to make any money. It's called the Christian bubble.
Oh.
It's where you isolate yourself from everything else in culture. Okay. And now we're seeing a generation of people who don't know how to talk to other people. Yep. It hasn't worked well.
We'll call it the first kid bubble.
Yeah.
For your first kid.
That's right. All right, when we come back, got to talk about this high school basketball star.
Yes.
We got to. And we got a bunch of other things.
River monsters, bro. Saving lives. Changing the world.
I just found a story about how an ex-boyfriend faked his death to catch his girlfriend in a murder plot.
Oh!
What? It's nuts.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
We got to talk about that.
All right. Hang on. Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Oh, I was going to say, you got to play that song from The Lion K.
There you go.
We'll do it. Hang out with us.
The Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Tao on Star 88.
It's a war zone. There are explosions. There are bombs going off. I can't even describe it.
Tao.
Yeah.
Sunday, where we're going to be hanging out at?
Lobo Beast.
Lobo Beast.
That's actually a lie.
What?
This Sunday, we're going to be at Citizens and Saints.
That's what it is. Lobo Beast is next Sunday.
May
1st. My bad, Dex. I told you wrong.
It's all good.
This Sunday is Citizens and Saints. Remember the commercial?
Yes.
Remember me saying, what are you guys doing this Sunday? I thought we were just doing a live thing, and it was like, I'm going to be at home.
So this Sunday, hang out with us at Citizens and Saints at the Lobo Theater. Tickets available right now on Parchment's Bookstore.
10-4, copy that.
And then next Sunday, we're going to be doing a thing at Lobo Beast down on Central. And I think some of the proceeds benefit Star 88.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, star88.fm. It's on our events page, actually. I think go there for all the details.
10-4, copy that.
There you go.
Ken Hendricks hanging out with us all morning long. It's been such a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Been good times hanging out with Ken from Time for Change.
I think it's been more fun for me than it has been for you guys.
Well,
but, I mean, you don't have to lie to make friends.
He's right.
I'm already your friend.
Yeah, if you didn't live in Santa Fe, we could hang out more. I mean, it's
man, the state capital sucks.
Yeah.
You guys are in the secondary city. I'm in the capital, man.
You are in the capital. It's true. Anything happening with the roads out there? Let's check the roads. Traffic.
Don't forget, guys, an accident on the transition ramp, eastbound Paseo to southbound I-25, off to the right. That's all.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Traffic.
That's great. That's just awesome. That's just
traffic.
Great.
Okay. Sports.
You know, it's pretty rare to find a high schooler who's got a fixed rate 30-year mortgage. But here we go. A 17-year-old named Jonathan Nicola moved from South Sudan to Canada about 6 months ago, started going to Catholic Central High School in Windsor, Ontario. Mm. He's also 6'9" and 202 pounds, so he quickly became the school's star basketball player. His coach even said, this kid, he might have a shot at the NBA. Well, earlier this week, we all found out why he's dominating all the high school kids in basketball. Well, because he's secretly 30 years old.
Boom.
That's insane.
The kid's 30 years old.
The guy
is 30 years old.
The grown man is 30 years old.
This little boy is 30 years old.
Yeah. Okay, you guys have to see a picture of him. There he is
No way! How did nobody notice that dude was a man?
Yeah, that's him
there's
right
something
there.
About that guy that just doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, it's there's something.
All the parents in the audience are just like, am I the only one?
Maybe it's that really like aggressive low voice that he uses when he's dunking over the other kids.
Yeah. Pretty sure that guy just filled out his insurance information. Gosh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he's 6'9", 202 pounds. It's not clear how the Canada Border Services Agency found out how old he really was, but they arrested him and are holding him in a detention center right now. When I was growing up playing basketball, there was a team in Gardner, Montana. And if you've ever been to Montana, there's a lot of white people. I mean, it's just full of white people.
I hate white people.
I know. Me too. And
you know what's sad? Can I just make a comment on our society right now?
Here it goes.
You guys can say that on the radio and not get in any trouble in the world. But if I
I can say it because I'm white.
Oh man, anyone else. Fired.
Oh yeah,
studio and starring.
That's Steve. So this kid, this new kid comes into town in Gardner, and he was a black kid.
Oh, never mind.
And, of course, all of us were like, oh, my gosh.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, we were thinking in Montana, thinking, wow, this kid, he was really good. He was amazing at playing basketball.
Yeah.
And so we played against him, and he was dunking. He was completely dominating us in basketball.
And it turns out he was 30 years old.
Turns out he was 23 years old.
Are you serious?
He was 23 years old. Okay. And he somehow snuck back into the system.
Nobody likes you when you're 23.
He was the most popular kid at school, guy at school. He had the girlfriend. He got busted and he went to jail. Crazy, right?
That is crazy. And that's about the only line of that song that you can say.
Yeah, just about.
I love that song.
But man,
it's about that time she went.
30 years old, this guy gets busted playing high school basketball.
That's nuts, man.
Yeah.
So he's
and maybe even tipped him off when like his kids started coming to the game.
That's what I'm saying. Like they look over, he's on the bench and he's like filling out insurance information. They're like, what's that guy? Wait, is he paying taxes? He's paying taxes. Does everybody realize he's paying taxes?
Is he drinking beer in the parking lot?
He just got a loan. He just got a loan for a new house. How old is this kid?
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
That's wonderful.
So there you go.
Shout out to Fort Walton Beach, Florida. We got a text in on the live line. Somebody just chimed in and said, Steve-O, try the coconut milk ice cream from Trader Joe's.
Hey, there you
go. Trying to help me out. I have tried it, and I would like to say thank you for trying. Have you ever tried it? Have you guys ever tried like any of the
coconut? I've tried some alternatives.
It's awful.
Well,
unless you love coconut
water. Oh, it's so good.
Unless you're into coconut, because it's like, dude, this one's mint chocolate chip coconut. It's like, oh man, Rocky, we're coconut. Like that's all it is. Okay. All of them. It's like, oh dude, pralines and coconut.
Why do you like coconut so much?
It's the worst.
Just screaming coconut. Somebody
that's because they're lying to you. It's like, hey man,
you say that word two more times, it will make no sense.
Since this is an alternative for those of you who can't have dairy, it's $17 for a quarter pint of this ice cream because it's made special with coconut, but you can't tell. This is rainbow coconut. It's all coconut. It's just coconut.
On the packaging, like the only thing that's in all caps is coconut, apparently, because you have to yell it when you say it.
This is coconut ice cream, am I right?
Coconut. Coconut ice cream.
Don't hold up your hand. Don't put the three. Don't give me the three.
What you should do is, since you're lactose intolerant, you can't eat ice cream without consequence.
I can't.
And not just for you, for everyone around you.
I can have daiquiri ice, though.
What you should do, you ready for this?
Yeah.
What you should do is figure out a way to make coconut-based ice cream that doesn't taste like coconut predominantly, and you call it coconut ice cream.
Yes.
Coconut.
Can you have stuff that's lactose-free?
Yeah.
Have you tried anything like that?
Like the sherbet,
like lactaid ice cream or something?
Like,
no. Is it really?
Chrissy always, my wife, she's always like, why don't you just take a stupid pill? Like, why won't you do that? And I'm like, because I have standards. I'm not going to.
Standards?
No, I am not.
Why would I want to fix my
problem?
Why would I want to do that?
So you could actually take a pill and then be able to eat some of this stuff?
I guess, allegedly.
What is
Woman,
the big
stop
deal?
With the
take
good suggestions.
Why won't you take a pill?
No.
I think I know. I think he's like, Chrissy, quit trying to fix me.
Yeah, I don't want to be fixed. I'm just going to eat ice cream with consequences. All right? Look, I don't want your
weirdo.
Magic. I don't want the red pill.
I think I'm going to start subtly suggesting that you take that pill.
Seriously?
I feel like the message
I'll
will get
I'll give
through.
You your pill every morning when you come to work.
Just put it in with your other pills you're having to take now that you're 40.
I think he's saying, like, if I fix my life, what am I going to have to scream about all the time?
Coconut!
All right, let's switch gears here because I've been really excited but nervous for Steve-O to share the news about this guy right here, one of my favorites.
My name is Jeremy Wade.
We had Jeremy Wade on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, RIP, man. Explorer. Got some sad news coming from Animal Planet's River Monsters.
What?
It always comes in threes. First China, then Prince.
What?
Did they cancel the
show?
Now
Jeremy Wade is definitely alive. that's not the news I have to report.
Oh.
Did they cancel the show?
I know you're a big fan.
Oh, God.
Will you stop playing the sad music? Because guess what? Jeremy Wade is a hero.
Yes.
Yeah. He's not dead, nor is his
Never
show.
Never surrender.
In fact, because of his show, someone is alive. While filming on a remote island in Australia, Jeremy Wade, the show's host, was walking about. I'm on a remote island in Australia. I'm filming. No one has ever touched down on this island. Is that a blue water cooler? They stumbled upon a blue water cooler on a remote island that no one's ever been to and thought, well, that's out of the blue. Quote, we saw this blue and white plastic cooler box sitting on some rocks, which we thought was quite strange. And someone made the joke that we were going to see Tom Hanks suddenly appear. And next thing we knew, there was a guy looking sort of wild and ragged staggering down the beach towards us.
It was Tom Hanks?
What?
It was Tom Hanks.
Filming Castaway 2, and he's like, you guys blew it!
It wasn't very easy to hear what he was saying. It was basically, water, water. He wanted us to give him some water, end quote. The crew had been filming, searching for this giant grouper fish, when this man approached them, appearing weak, crazy disoriented. He was a boater dude digging for oysters, and apparently got lost, stranded on this deserted island, was there for days.
Oh, wow.
So was it a group of fish or a group of fish?
group of fish. Man, I wish they would have said, okay, but since we got you all rescued and your water and everything, have you seen this giant group of fish? And he's like, dude, I killed that thing 2 weeks ago.
Man.
I gotta eat.
He had quickly become dehydrated in the 110-degree heat on this island.
Yikes.
Jeremy
Coconut.
Wade said,
yeah. Coconut water.
He said he had pretty much given up hope. The guy said that he was just praying a lot. Like, that was it. He had lost. He didn't know what to do.
So being stranded on the island really, like, did a lot for his relationship with the Lord. That's a good thing. Yeah.
I think God caused that crash to happen so that he'd get right. Am I right, you guys? That sound doctrine, right?
Whoa, dude.
I think things just got real. Steve was pissed.
Did this guy know who Jeremy Wade was?
No, dude.
Every time.
He said after spending a few nights rehydrating with the show's crew, he was strong enough to make a go to get home. The film crew had never stumbled upon a castaway before, saying it's very likely he would have died. He wouldn't have seen anybody else if this show hadn't come along to this island.
And you know they probably got to film these shots.
I know. Hopefully it'll be on the next season.
It's going to be a huge special. How crazy is that? So this dude, totally. They just saved some dude's
life. Jeremy Wade!
Good job.
Yes. Or they didn't save this dude's life. What could have happened is this guy got stranded on this island. And if they had never shown up, he would have had to fend for himself, and then he would have discovered this crazy, like, drug-running crew out there, and he would have had to start crafting a bow and arrows.
Is this arrow?
Shut up.
This would have been better.
Right? And then he would have become our first real-life superhero, and your stupid Jeremy Wade guy ruined it by saving him on a deserted island.
Dun, dun, dun!
He could have been a real-life Green Arrow!
It's Jeremy Wade.
Oh, you dummy!
Love Jeremy Wade. River Monsters.
My name is Oliver Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't the castaway's name, actually.
That's pretty good, man.
How Steve-O, cool is that?
But Steve-O off the air freaked me out because he goes, I have sad news about Jeremy. And I said, what?
Well, he let up. The guy comes in threes.
Exactly, yeah.
And then he
like
goes,
that.
We lost Prince yesterday. And I was like, no! Don't know. I thought Jeremy like got eaten or something.
Yeah, we lost the chance at a real life superhero because Jeremy Wave saved a guy on an island instead of letting him become the new Oliver Queen.
I came in resurrected this morning.
Sure did. Sure did.
Okay, dude. So listen, I've got this crazy story.
Yeah, yeah. My story's crazy. This is, you know what we need to do?
What?
New segment.
New
segment. We got to do a Friday one-up segment where
Friday
we each have try and come up with like the craziest story.
That's a good idea. And we keep them from each other?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So that's my story. Dude, Jeremy Wade from River Monster saved a dude's life who was stranded on an island. Now you go,
Yeah,
Kale.
But I had a story
I'm gonna
about
beat all of you guys.
I had a story about a 30-year-old guy who got caught playing high school basketball.
Whatever. I just wound up that because Jeremy Wade just saved a dude who was shipwrecked on a deserted
island. I kind
of feel
like mine is better still.
No
it says
way.
In Proverbs that hell hath no fury as a woman scorned, and that it would be better to live on the corner of a roof than in the home with a crazy woman. That's right.
That's true, actually.
It's a scary
Sam. That's biblical. Yeah.
Okay, so imagine, if you will, a world where an ex-boyfriend had to fake his own death to catch his girlfriend, a Marine, who is beautiful, by the way, in a crazy murder plot. Laura Buckingham gave $3,000 to an undercover cop to murder the father of her young son.
Oh, gosh!
After asking her sniper boyfriend to do it first. Okay, so, let me paint a picture for you.
All right.
With her son frolicking in the background, Laura Buckingham allegedly paid a hitman $3,000 to kill the boy's father. Quote, I want him gone, said Buckingham, the 29-year-old Marine, allegedly back in February in Kingston, Tennessee. I want him out of the picture. What did I say?
No, it was me. I stopped the music because this thing cuts off.
Quit being an idiot.
Sorry.
Quit being... Want it to look like an accident? That would cost more, the hitman told her. You're sure this is what you want? Yes, she replied. Target, ex-boyfriend, Brad Sutherland. It was supposed to happen on a Wednesday night. That's when the assassin was supposed to come kill me, the guy giving the interview said. Days after he learned his ex tried to end his life. He learned he would die on February 24th. He was supposed to either do it when I left for work or on my way home. A few days later, the hitman returned to the gal's home with photos that showed her dead ex-fiancé.
Oh, wow.
She paid him for the rest of his fee for a job well done. Unbeknownst to her, police in Louisville, Kentucky had staged the mock assassination with the guy inside of a parking garage.
Oh, wow.
The hitman was an undercover agent with the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. When they brought me down to the police station and told me about all this, the first thing I said is, I'm being punked. This is the guy. He's like, are you kidding me? Are you guys kidding me?
Man. Baby mama wants me gone?
And then, to top it all off, he's like, well, how much did she pay to kill me?
Right.
And they're like, $3,000.
$3,000.
That's all I'm worth?
And then he says, are you bleeping kidding me? I wanted to say that because that's the gravity of the situation.
Right. Man.
He said, my life is worth $3,000
gosh.
To her, his lady. So
that's
he says
crazy.
It's like a used car lot. Like, bring us your tax check and we'll get you a car. Only this is more like, bring us your tax check and we'll assassinate your ex-fiance.
Wow.
I can see the commercial, the local cheesy commercial
right.
now.
He says the dark humor in the situation disappeared as he thought about his son. He was like, when the guy went to show the photos of my dead body, my son is right there. The fact that she would let a hired killer into the house while my son is just chilling out, that hurts me more than the attempt on my life.
I'm sure there's a lot of this that hurts him.
It's true, right.
What does it go into detail on why she would want him dead? Were they fighting a lot?
What's crazy is that this undercover cop, okay, so he doesn't just arrest her.
Dude.
How did he find, like, the cops just bring him in and they go, hey, we want to stage your murder, but why? Like, why wouldn't they just arrest her? Because she already solicited the officer trying to pay for...
Okay. I'll bet staging the murder and having her pay the final fee even increases the charges.
So they arrested her on February 24th, charged her with criminal intent to commit first-degree murder at the end of the operation that began when Buckingham's boyfriend, Joseph, told them of her murder-for-hire plot. So the boyfriend was offered the job first.
Right.
And he went to the police, the current boyfriend.
Okay.
She was like, he was like, my girlfriend is trying to kill her ex-fiance.
Okay. She just wanted him out of the picture then.
Yes. Wow. And check it out. You've met her before. We all know her.
What?
Twist.
We know her?
In 2011, Sergeant Chamblin. Wait, I'm sorry. This guy was with, somehow he knew. He was the guy, one of the four Marines seen urinating on Taliban corpses in Afghanistan.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys remember when those pictures came out?
Oh, that's the boyfriend?
Mm-hmm. After an honorable discharge and reduction in rank, he co-authored Into Infamy. He sells T-shirts, all this crazy stuff. And, this is so confusing, this whole situation. The boyfriend, the sniper, expressed fears for his and his children's safety due to the fact that the girlfriend had become so serious about taking out her ex-fiance.
Wow.
Imagine
being in a relationship with somebody and then being like, man, my previous relationship didn't work out. Will you kill them for me? You know what I mean? You're like, how do I get out of this current relationship?
Yeah. Sure, baby. Anything for you.
Yeah. It says that part of the reason that she kind of started getting upset at the guy is that the incident report suggests Buckingham, the girl, feared Sutherland, the ex, may try to take her to court to obtain full custody of their son. She made a hasty decision to abandon New Albany, Indiana, and her bread and breakfast bakery job to join the new guy, the new boyfriend, Chamblin, in Tennessee. She was irritated with the weekly long-distance treks to Indiana and back.
That's a reason to kill somebody.
Exactly.
Gosh.
And then she started tossing around the idea of making the ex go away, he thought she was just blowing off steam, just being cool, you know, like just frustrated or whatever. But she wouldn't let up. She kept broaching killing Sutherland for almost a month, and reports claimed that she assumed she would not be implicated if she was spared any of the details. So she thought, you know, if she just paid somebody and didn't know anything about it, she wouldn't even get charged.
That's crazy, man.
Her the report states, was to snuff Sutherland and then set up Chamblin, the new guy, to take the fall for it if something did go wrong.
Oh, man.
Wow.
What an awful person.
Well, this makes me think about the fact that we're all awful people, really. Because, I mean, we're capable of doing murderous things for the sake of convenience in our culture. We know that. And, like, I think it says in James, right? Like, you know, where do wars and fights come from among you? You know, you do not have the things that you want, and so you fight and you murder and you kill each other. You know, and it speaks to the potential we have to do the most horrendous. We have the potential to do the most horrendous things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't talk the most horrendous things.
No.
Over the sake of convenience, man. She didn't want to drive back and forth,
right,
you know, to exchange the kid, you know, for visitation. She's like, it'd be easier to kill him.
And she's definitely, she had been treated for post-traumatic stress disorder. And it appeared as recently as last year that she was just starting to unravel.
Man. Thank you for all.
Are you guys ready for the one up? Oh, we got this.
Go ahead, Ken.
All right, so I'll take you back to the 6 o'clock hour this morning.
Oh, no.
I'm driving in my car from Santa Fe, the worst place in New Mexico, according to Dex.
Gosh,
well, yeah, and I love Santa Fe people.
We're
I just like don't
wanting
like
to get
city.
To New Mexico.
I love the people.
We're trying to get up to Santa Fe.
I'm driving down here to Albuquerque to hang out with my friends on the morning invasion. And then suddenly I find that I am known as the late singer of Time for Change.
Yep. Did you know that?
And then I stunned the guys on the morning invasion when I arrived at the door
alive. Alive. Staged his own death back in the day because he didn't want to have to break up with the band.
Resurrected.
I was pretty shocked.
Yeah.
I was pretty shocked.
Yeah. Pretty good, man.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Good. That was huge, man. You're my first friend I've ever known that came back to life. So that was
all
pretty,
in the span of like an hour.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. That's quick, man. That's quick.
We got Ken Hendricks hanging out with us from Time for Change. Again, there's a benefit show coming up on May 20th with Left Unsaid, and Time for Change is back playing the show. It's to benefit Annika Garay. Get your tickets before it sells out. All right, we got to finish up Teo's headlines when we come back. Some more invasion. Hang out.
We got to take a break, but fear not. The Morning Invasion will be right back. All is well. We're back with The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
Prince has died.
Just want your extra time and your
He was 57 and had suffered flu-like symptoms for several weeks, found unresponsive in an elevator at his Paisley Park recording studio and home in Minneapolis.
Donald Trump may be grounded. The FAA says the registration expired.
The aircraft has been flying without the appropriate authority from the FAA for a number of months.
Pennsylvania regulators have fined Uber nearly $11.4 million for operating in the state without permission.
The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits fell to the lowest level in more than four decades.
Part of an elevated bike lane that was built in Rio ahead of this summer's Olympic Games has collapsed.
A line of thunderstorms through the Houston area has aggravated the flooding there. Some of the creeks rose.
9:37.
High today of 77 degrees.
You're fast, man. You're fast.
You're fast. Speaking of fast, coming up, talking about a teenager who committed murder during his driving test.
Murder.
We'll tell you what grade he got.
Murder.
That story is very dear to my heart. There's no traffic anything to report right now. That should look at traffic.
Traffic!
Ken Hendricks.
What's up, guys?
Ken Hendricks.
Hanging out with us.
With us.
His band is called Time for Change.
And now I roam. Anxiety fills me 8 days a week.
That's auto-tune. It actually is, I know. Because I did it.
It's good stuff.
They're back together. Going to be playing that show with Left Unsaid on May 20th.
We got a message from God. We got to put the band back together.
There it is.
That's cool, man.
Is that Blues Brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that movie.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
That's a classic movie.
Dude! Never seen it.
What? Really? Man, that movie's awesome.
I've never
got a reason
seen
to hang out, man.
Blues Brothers is great.
Mm. Never seen it. Isn't that crazy? I think I got to a point where it had been so many years that I was like, yeah, I'm good.
John Belushi.
Yeah.
Even the updated one, that one was really good. 2000? I think. I remember that one being good.
Yeah, Blues Brothers. I think I saw that one.
Hey, shout out to the Pareas.
Though, what's up, Pareas?
Our boy Brian. And I want to say Tenacious P.
Tenacious P.
Yeah, Tanisha.
Tanisha.
Perea. They're celebrating their 10th winning anniversary.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And he's like, dude, shout out. And
happy
I'm like, hey, let's celebrate 10 years of marriage
happy
because it's a, it, that is a,
baby.
You did it, buddy. You can call it a day now. 10
Where
years
to
is,
go?
I mean, that's like the new.
No, you can't call
right?
it a day.
No.
That's
man.
Cool. That's
we really had a
cool.
good
run. We had a good run. A decade.
Yep.
No, that's amazing, dude.
Congrats. All right, let's do some news here.
It's time for the news.
Is somebody going to talk?
I am. The city of Phoenix commissioned a bunch of comic books to teach kids about bike safety.
Yeah!
But the artist they hired got really graphic with the injuries,
no.
So now parents are complaining.
Okay.
No way.
Well,
it's like, and then he rode his bike into the arroyo, and his leg got cut off. Pretty nuts, though. Eddie Vedder and his 7-year-old daughter recorded a cover of the 60s Batman theme.
Even flow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I thought that was really him. I actually thought that was part of it.
I did, too.
I was like, there he is right there.
Thank you. Thank you. 90s rock alternative. 90s
Jeremy
rock alternative.
Jeremy Spoken.
Pearl was my jam. That was right.
According to a new study, only 2.5% of people who have had a medical emergency in public got helped out by strangers before an ambulance got there. Which is about 1 in 39 people.
Gosh.
1 in 39 people receive help from people in public if they have a medical emergency.
Wait, what, 1 in 39?
So what do the other 38 do?
Bleed
Suffer.
Out.
Probably die. people walking by filming them on YouTube.
Dude, is that how you comfort somebody that's like laying in pain on the sidewalk? Don't worry, dude. 1 in 39 are going to get help.
You're lucky, bro. You're the 1 in 39.
You're the one, bro.
Jody Sweet.
You don't even help him. You just say, somebody's probably going to come.
You'll be the 1 in 39. I got to go get a bagel. Jody Sweetin was hospitalized after injuring her ankle during Dancing with the Stars rehearsals yesterday. Too early to know if she'll be dancing next week or not. You know what I say to that? How rude.
Gosh. We're about halfway through Fuller House.
You gotta keep going.
We're taking our time with it.
That's good. That's a good thing to do. All right, The Huntsman Winter's War is out this weekend. Your limited release options feature Kevin Spacey in Elvis and Nixon, Tom Hanks in A Hologram for the King, and Susan Sarandon in The Meddler.
Yep. Remember when we got to interview Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah, it was pretty epic.
Did you hear that interview?
It was for this movie.
Ken?
Wait, maybe. Who's this guy?
Ken.
He was Thor.
Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, wait. You know what? I knew about that interview, but I didn't catch that one. Sometimes I'm at the office and I can't listen.
When we talked to Chris, we talked to him a little bit about The Huntsman.
The new Huntsman film that is coming out April 22nd. Because the first one, I was actually a fan of the first one. I enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to, but Charlize Theron was amazing. You, of course, fantastic as the Huntsman. But this new one coming out, it's like a prequel, I guess. What's it like working with Charlize Theron?
Oh, she's amazing. It's obviously a beautiful woman. We had a lot of success with the first film. And, you know, we're just really, really ready to get back going with the second movie. I hope a lot of people like it. Myself, you know, it's a true honor starting with people like Charisse. She's a beautiful woman, and I don't want to spoil too much because it's coming out soon, but I know people will like it.
Chris Hemsworth on The Morning Invasion.
Crazy.
Amazing.
The Hasbro Toy Company putting together a, quote, cinematic universe based on a bunch of its toy lines, including G.I. Joe, the Micronauts, and MASC, which stands for Mobile Armored Strike Command, and Awesome. It's not clear if the previous G.I. Joe movies will be a part of the cinematic shared universe, but that's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
That's interesting. Robert Downey Jr. is bringing Iron Man to the upcoming Spider-Man reboot, which is called Spider-Man Homecoming. It comes out next year, but Michael Keaton has dropped out. He was in very early talks to play the villain, and I read an article about it yesterday, and they said, this is why you don't report things when they're in early talks. Because a lot of times early talks fall apart.
Yeah, you get people's hopes up.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix was supposed to play Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. He was in early talks, as was Bryan Cranston. Mm-hmm. Both dropped out. Both of those things got reported. Joaquin Phoenix was also in early talks to play Doctor Strange. And then he dropped out, and they got Benedict Cumberbatch. This is why they need to slow down.
Gosh,
TMZ.
That was the best thing that's ever happened. I don't know if I would have seen Joaquin Phoenix's Doctor Strange. Mm. Seriously.
Oh, guys, we might have a little more information on the whole live with Kelly and Michael.
Strahan.
So check it out. People magazine says that Good Morning America tried to hire Kelly Ripa away from live a few times over the years. But unlike Michael Strahan, she refused because she loves the show and she's loyal to it. So imagine that. She's been offered the job a few times. She's like, no, I love my show. I'm going to stick. And then new guy comes along. And he's like, oh, I'm going to
Good
Morning. Bye.
Takes it without. This makes sense.
This does make sense.
Not going to her and asking and saying, hey, Good Morning America just offered me this great job. I think I'm going to take it.
What a jerk.
Right?
Come on, Strahan.
Feel bad for Kelly.
I do too. So we got another
thing. Cancel her show.
12 things people want in their dream home.
Oh.
You guys ready for this?
I hope.
Toilet.
Well, yes, of course.
Well, there's a couple toilets.
A lot of people in the world don't have that.
That's You're exactly right. That's very true. Very true. Okay, we'll start with number 12. At least 6 bedrooms in the dream home.
What?
It's a dream home. 6 bedrooms?
Yeah, remember
perfect.
Everybody, dream home. Dream home.
Okay, dream home.
Dream home!
That was the longest flush.
I know. We played that yesterday.
Can I see if this is on the list? Because this is what I've always wanted.
Let's hear it.
Bowling alley.
No, that'd be cool.
Movie theater.
Secret room.
Like a panic room, like a hidden room, secret room?
Like a secret hidden room, you know, with a bookcase and you open it up and you can go in.
And then there's like a movie theater in there.
Yeah, it could be a movie theater.
That's not on
there. It's not on there?
That would be dumb to have a movie theater in the secret room because all of a sudden like your 5-1 is blasting through and they're like, why is the bookshelf shaking?
It does say number 4 is a relaxation / meditation room.
Okay. Well, that could be your hidden room. It could be whatever you want.
Like a yoga room.
That's so new age. That's so Santa Fe.
Number 12. That is so Santa Fe.
Namaste.
That's so those two houses over close to Knob Hill that are like train cars and they have dinosaurs out front.
Yeah.
Number 12 is at least 6 bedrooms. Number 11, a nightclub.
They want a nightclub in their house?
You're trying to go to sleep next door.
Well, while we're being practical.
Yeah, I'm sorry I invited you guys over. Diplo's in the other room. Yeah. I forgot.
Guys, I'm feeling sick. Hey, but you got a nightclub in your house, man. We ain't leaving.
Man.
Oh, man.
Okay. Incredible. Number 10, a bowling alley.
Nice.
Yeah. It'd be in your spare bedroom.
Oh, my gosh.
I hate myself. Number 9, an aquarium.
Yes. Yes.
Number 8, a wine cellar. Number 7, a movie theater. Have you guys ever stayed with somebody who has like a mini theater?
Yeah.
There were a couple of houses in the Waverly tour route where we would stay with people and they had like mini theaters.
Coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see that movie The Toy with Richard Pryor?
Yes.
That's what this is making me think about. That kid's house was crazy.
It was so cool.
You see that movie as a kid and like I was just thinking about like how when you're young, like you're, you know, second grader, third grader, it seems like anything is possible. Yeah. And you're just thinking, that kid has the most amazing house.
Or
it sounds like whoever wrote this list
that's who
saw that
or
movie.
It's the kid from Blank Check, the early 90s Disney movie where the kid
I didn't see that one.
He makes his dream house. He like basically steals money from this guy, and then he's like a champion.
That's legit.
Pretty awesome. So a movie theater.
An octagon.
A gym. So close. Okay. I guess if that's your flavor, then there you go. Number 5, a library. This is something that if I had a dream home, I would want like a legit library, like Beauty and the Beast style.
One where you'd have to have a ladder to get up and
the ladder moves. Cool. That would be awesome. Number 4, relaxation or meditation room. Number 3, a balcony in the house.
Yeah, okay. That's nice.
Number
Music
2,
studio is not on there?
I guess that would be your relaxation or meditation room or your gym.
A podcasting / radio station
that
room.
That was really specific.
Right.
Working from home.
Walk-in closets.
Podcasting rooms now.
Walk-in closets, number 2, in your dream home. And then finally, a bathroom attached to every bedroom. That's a pretty practical one.
See, I knew toilet was on there.
It is on there,
It's on there. Yeah, it's important to have a lot of bathrooms in your home.
It is.
Because we have 2 bathrooms in our home, and I hate it because we're a family of 6 now.
Whoa.
And
are you counting Vader?
No, that's 7 with Vader.
Mm.
And when we got 2 people using both the bathrooms, if the bathrooms are full, then where do you go? You go outside. You go out in the street.
Yeah, of course.
You just go out to the middle of the street and
just
go.
Bridesmaids, that's what you do. Yeah, that's what you do.
You know?
It's happening. It's happening.
Yep.
Yeah, so those are the top 12 things you would want in a dream house. What would you want in your dream house? Text us 505 or 585 live.
Oh, gosh.
What would you want in your dream house?
Well, I already said studio. I definitely have a music studio.
There you go.
You guys wouldn't want to have a secret room because I think that's the coolest thing ever. Well, especially what if somebody, if you knew there was somebody trying to get into your home, you could grab your family and go in the secret room. They'd never know where you're at.
I'd have a wall of guitars that looks like the one at Guitar Center.
Yeah, there you
go. Yeah.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Stop it. You can't have people.
Steve-O.
That doesn't count.
I'm dumping you.
You guys can have all these crazy things, but can't I can't have
Jennifer Love Hewitt,
yeah,
really?
She just seems like a cool roommate.
What?
Dump that it. Was Steve-O, by the way.
Hey, is that strike 3?
That's strike 3.
That's it.
You're out of here.
Glad you came in today, bud.
I'll see you guys later.
I was just talking about what I really want to do radio.
Yeah, there you go. Ken's here, so we're all good.
All right.
Welcome, Ken.
Love you guys. Love you.
They don't love you back. They just emailed.
Unreal. That's how it went down.
He said he wanted Jennifer Love Hewitt. Man, that's creepy.
Sorry, Chrissy.
That's how like horror
just
movies start
friends,
off.
Guys. Oh, I'm back. I'm back.
Wait, what?
Whoa.
Back?
Did you come from a secret
theater of the mind?
Is there a secret room in our studio?
No, you should have gone. This is how you do it. Any home is perfect so long as my wife and children are there with me.
That's right.
And Jennifer Love Hewitt. just
all right, you need to stop.
JLH. JLH.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
You're in so much trouble.
Just a movie texting? Theater room that plays nothing but Can't Hardly Wait.
See, here's good grief. Can't Hardly Wait in the Ghost Whisperer.
Would you like to have a garage filled with cars like Jay Leno has?
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
Tickets.
I'd be down with that. Cars. Like a giant garage with just cars. A car for every day.
Just for every motorcycle.
Yeah.
I don't like movie theaters and houses. Mm. Because anytime we stayed with somebody that had a movie theater, number one, we'd go there after a show. It would be super late. And they'd be like, you guys want to watch a movie?
Oh,
and then 5 minutes in, everybody's asleep. Not just me. I always fall asleep during movies. But like, if there's a movie theater in your house, I'll never watch a full movie because it's my house, so I'm going to fall asleep. That's just what's going to happen.
Full movies before.
Have you ever been in a movie theater? Yeah. I'm talking like they've got surround sound. It's a big projector, HD, awesome screen, and then movie theater.
So I guess
seats.
Don, if you were thinking about blessing Matt with a movie theater, just don't. It's not a blessing. It's a curse.
What about B-dubs? Can I put B-dubs in there?
She wants to curse me.
In my dream house.
That's how
just have an actual B-dubs within my dream house.
Let me guess who would work there. Would it be Jennifer Love Hewitt?
She would be the hostess.
Yes. Welcome to B-Dubs. I'm Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Welcome to B-Dubs. I'm miserable. Also, would you call the police? He kidnapped me.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so weird, dude.
It really is.
But I don't want her to serve me because that'd be awkward. Just show me to my table.
You and your wife and your family to your table?
She's a hostess?
Yeah. She's
hostess with the mostest.
Man, Steve. I'm Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Studio at star88.fm.
They released a movie about this last year. It was called Room, starring Brie Larson. It was terrifying.
Gosh. I would like a basketball court.
Oh, okay. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
You know, maybe handball.
You LeBron.
Oh,
James
I'd want now. One of those basketball games. Like, remember the old school ones that spit out like nine little small basketballs? Uh-huh. And
Steve-O has one of those.
Really?
Right. The little
he has
basketball.
A dream home
in the garage.
No, it was in. Don't do it, man. You it was in the garage. It on Amazon, and you're like, this would be the best Christmas present that the kids are going to use all the seven
Is it
times.
Super cheap.
Seven times.
Oh, they just
no. It's fantastic. It's just huge and takes up an entire one.
Those are
like
big.
One area
you
of
sell
our
it?
Garage.
You want, I'll buy it from you.
How much did you get it for?
It was a few hundred. I don't remember.
Are you
we also have an Asteroids machine that I've had since I was a child in the garage.
Dang.
I'm trying to get that completely
Steve-O,
refurbished.
You were supposed to say it only cost me like $3,000 and then give me $1,000.
Oh, that's true. That's true. We got a bunch of people chiming in. One person said secret passage. One person said what I would actually really have, probably not Jennifer Love Hewitt, but an indoor batting cage would be incredible
be pretty
for the
cool.
boys.
That's a better choice.
And me, because, you know, you always want to get out to the cages to like let off some steam.
Yeah,
go to the cages.
Just go hit some balls, man.
How about a paintball area in your house where you could paintball. Do you guys ever paintballed?
Yeah, it was awful.
What? It's fun.
I had a blast.
Paintballing is amazing.
Paintballing is awesome. Dude, some of the funniest stuff that ever happened in my life happened during paintball.
Yeah. Fun or funniest?
Fun and funniest.
The
only time I went paintballing, my wife left bleeding.
Me too! And, I left bleeding!
Yeah. Well, she got, like, some dude had, like, one of those. It was in, arena that was run, and you weren't supposed to have the automatic guns. Some dude had a gun that, like, shot her, like, three times in the hand.
Yeah, some of those guns
are
pretty gnarly.
And she was bleeding, and it was just like, this is stupid. We're leaving.
I came around a corner, and this kid came around the corner, and the barrel of his gun went boop, right in between my two fingers, and he pulled the trigger, and it just went boom, paint and blood. And it was like, first and last time I ever want to do this. It was the stupidest because it was like, rules,
Nobody
and you're not supposed
makes
to.
Me bleed
and this kid's like
blood.
On the other side Nobody. Of the nacho, you know, and it was like, this is.
I shot my friend Roger point blank in the neck on accident because I was wearing gloves.
Talking about paintball, everybody.
Yeah. And I accidentally, when we were running
I
around.
Shot my friend Roger.
I did. And I blasted him right in the neck. He was on my team, and I got him out because I blasted him point blank right in the neck, and the. He wanted to punch me in the face.
You almost want to say it again. We're talking about paintball.
Yeah, paintball.
So I shot my friend
point
in the neck.
Blank in the neck.
Playing a fool.
Is that like an art room? Somebody wants an art room that they can ruin and get messy.
Check this crew out right here, guys. That was I think that was Coon's bachelor party.
Oh man,
Ryan Coon from Waverly. We went and played paintball.
So much fun, right?
It was incredible. Mm. We had so much fun.
Yep. There's tournaments. We should get into a tournament.
No.
Is that Jennifer Love Hewitt in that picture of the bachelor party?
Yeah, that's her. She, you know what? We didn't let her
play. Don't you toy with my emotions.
We told her she was too beautiful.
What, dude, I'm not... All through high school...
And then she started talking to some ghost. It was weird.
You know when you were a kid and you had dreams and you're like, this is going to come true. Like, I want to be a musician. I want to be an actor. My serious... Like, my... I was like, I'm going to move to LA and I'm going to meet her and she's going to just enjoy my personality and fall deeply in love with me. We're going to spend the rest of our lives together.
Nah, it didn't happen.
It's going to be great. Jennifer Love Jeter, it just rolls off the tongue.
Stop. Just stop.
Shut
I was
up,
a child.
Shut up now.
Jennifer Love Jeter, am I right? Right, girl? Right, girl? Get back in your room!
Wow.
Terrible, Steve.
All right, we're done with the show today, everybody.
That went by fast.
Yeah, it did. Ken, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
We had fun. Ken Hendricks. Time for Change is the name of the band. You guys can see them May 20th with Left Unsaid. It's a benefit show for Annika Gray. And we talked to Eric this morning, the bass player from Left Unsaid. And be praying for the Gray family and their little girl having to deal with this Gaucher disease. If you missed any of the show, it'll be up at the podcast here in a little bit. Just go to iTunes, Google Play, star88.fm. We're done, guys. It's a big weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Ken. See you later. Tao?
Yeah.
Steve-O?
Bye, JLH.
Yeah.
That's number 4.
All right, I'll go.
That's a lot, man.
Thankfully, it's Friday. Sadly, I'll be back Monday.
Okay. See you then.
That's all we got. There ain't no more.
That's right.
Time is tight. It's the end of the show.